がんばれ選手 FM826
JJ クラブ100。
Chill out sometimes, see on Sunday mornings, know what I mean? It's Best in Show Radio! I don't even understand what's going on in my head, my feelings, they're challenged, they're emotional, but I'm going to pull through, because I've got a bunch of pals that are going to take me to the promised land. It's Best in Show! BestinShowRadio.com Zaduza, Xanadu, Olivia Newton, John. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Best in Show, BestinShowRadio.com here on Heroes Talk. I don't know what happened actually during the intro as the show started. I was listening to those intoxicating Japanese women speaking to me, and they kind of, I think they put a whammy on me, and they made me feel a little bit confused. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull through as I try and get through this this show, this program. By the way, my name's Chris. I'm one of the jerks that's going to be on this thing with you this week. Hey, look, there's that other jerk. He's my best jerk. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, everybody, this is Keith from Best in Show. You're listening to Best in Show Radio.
My best jerk.
I don't know. It's best. Hey, there's the other jerk. There's a real, real good jerk. His name's Fred.
A fine jerk.
Oh, I don't know about fine.
No?
You're cut from your own cloth.
Thank you.
I don't even know what that meant.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, it's Fred. Morning. Hey, look who else is here. It's Brown.
Thank you, Chris. We're halfway there. We're living on a prayer.
Oh, nice. Very
Take
good.
Take my hand. We'll make it, I swear.
Yeah. I was very excited when Brown wasn't here for the beginning of the show. I thought, like, wow, I can't believe he's not going to make it today. This is going to be very exciting and interesting. But then he went and screwed it up and showed up mere seconds before the show started. It was exciting.
Why was Brown late? What do you think?
I'm going to say cocaine or hookers. One of the two.
Or?
And being fat.
Oh,
yeah. Those two things ever, should they ever be separated?
Oh, it's like peanut butter and chocolate.
Awesome. And driving this thing.
That was their names.
Nice. Driving this thing is our executive producer, Rob Giggs. If you want to join us, you want to be part of this fine, fine program. I don't know what program you're looking at. It's Best in Show. It's not so fine. But you can if you want, 877-744-6405. You want to get us on the Instant Messenger. I don't know who signed in and who didn't. I know I didn't, so I'm not even going to bother introducing it. And that's about it. Go over to Pal Talk.
Best in Show Keith is signed in.
Yeah, look at you. Like a real boy. Like a real boy. And that's about it. So I'm done with you guys. See you guys tomorrow.
Night.
I gotta be honest, I feel very weird. I feel a little, I'm feeling, I don't want to blame it on the Japanese girls. You know, that was the scapegoat for me. But like maybe like 10 minutes before the show started, I started feeling very nauseous. Like almost throwing up nauseous. I feel really awful. Might have something to do with the fact that I spent a lot of time on YouTube over the past couple of days watching people throw up during newscasts, which I find to be hilarious
what?
For some reason.
What are you talking about?
Exactly what I said. Are you familiar with YouTube?
Yeah.
It's a little website. It has videos on it. You could watch fun things. And one of these fun videos I've been watching over the past couple of days, and just as I said, I looked over at Keith, it looked like he dry heaved as I said it, so I'm so excited about that. But yeah, I somehow started looking at YouTube. Basically, it started, I was looking for fail videos. Mm. Just watching videos of just people having just awful luck, as it were. And somehow, through this, I wound up discovering this thing of people puking on YouTube, but live on news broadcasts. So this is my thing. This is what I've been doing for the past couple of days. This is what I was doing at 3 o'clock in the morning last night when I got home from work.
So in the middle of, like, a guy doing the weather, he's like, there's a front coming through the west.
Exactly.
I would have bet that never even happened once ever.
I could tell you that I watched at least 15 to 20 of these last night at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got home. I worked late last night. When I got home from work, I played a little Warcraft. And then 3 o'clock, so I was like, all right, well, what do I do now? Do I, you know, look at some porno and rub one out before I go to bed? No. I'm going to watch newscasters throwing up instead. It's much, much more entertaining.
Did you rub one out?
Well, obviously.
I can sort of see how that would happen with the newscasters or the people that are performing, but I was going to ask, is it sort of man on the street sort of interview people, too? Did they walk up on someone who just like, excuse hey, I'm on camera.
No, excuse me, sir.
I wish it was that exciting. There was one in particular. There's some guy who was getting interviewed for some film that he made, some college student was getting interviewed for some film that he made, and as like he's getting halfway through it, like right before he goes, he does a little burp, like burps to himself. And then throws up right on the table, right to the one who just picks it up. We're gonna go to break, you know. And I just love that.
Did anyone get thrown up on any other newscasters?
No, surprisingly, no. None of the ones I've seen. That's what I was disappointed in. That there was none of that. There was some girl who hosts, like, you know how they do those late night phone-in TV shows. Like, you know, where they have the easy, like, trivia questions on TV and you call it, like, 3 in the morning.
Oh, those win prize shows that
right.
popped up, yeah.
Well, there was one in, I want to say it's in Norway. It was either Norway or Sweden. And Picks. The girl, as she's standing Picks. There doing it, yeah, basically, standing there, just throws up in the middle of it, you know, walks off, comes back on, asks the guy for his answer, and then says, I'm really sorry, you know, I've got my period. I'm menstruating really awfully. I'm sorry about this whole thing. You know what? Excuse me a second. Steps off and you hear, bleep, and splashing again. It's awful.
That's funny because in that movie Knocked Up, there's a scene where she's interviewing a guy on E, but she's pregnant and she throws up, runs off stage and throws up. And I was thinking when I saw that, I wonder if that ever happened. Now it's popping back into my head that I wondered that day.
Can I ask you a favor, dude?
Yeah.
Could we have one conversation that doesn't revolve around Knocked Up?
Revolve around it?
You bring Knocked Up with everything that we're talking about. Hey, bro, what do you want to get for dinner tonight? Well, that girl Knocked Up, she ate pizza that time.
You want to? So we'll go back and we'll count how many times I've brought it up at this point?
Yes. Okay, think. Here's one now. Oh, wait, that might have been the first time. I might be confused. That might have been the first
time. Any chain throwing ups? Did anyone make somebody throw up by throwing up?
Somebody threw up a chain, actually.
There was at that blueberry pie eating contest, they did that with the big fat kid.
That was Knocked Up, dude. Stop talking about
that. Oh, sorry. I love talking about that.
But no chain throwing up. Someone didn't make somebody throw up by throwing up.
No, I didn't see that.
Well,
I also didn't see anyone contact anybody with puke either.
Okay.
He was just puking.
Did any hit the cameras at all? Like projectile vomit across into the camera?
No, I didn't see that. I thought there was, but no, that was the guy who threw the hammer. Because I'll be honest with you, this all started, my whole YouTube fail thing started from wanting to watch Olympic videos. And that somehow, that's where this whole thing evolved into for days now that I've been addicted to this. But he was doing a hammer throw, and the hammer throw smashed into the camera. That's the closest thing to puking on the camera. So if the guy puked a hammer, then yes. Yes, he did.
Oh, if I had a hammer, I'd puke it in the morning.
Awful.
And I'd puke it in the evening.
Awful.
I'd puke it all day long.
I haven't puked in a long time. When was that?
Didn't you puke here during the show?
Yeah, but nothing really came out. It was more like dry heaves.
No, I seem to remember it smelling like grated cheese from what you did.
Well, that was, what, over a year ago?
Yeah.
I'm a little embarrassed to say I've been puking a lot recently, in the last couple of months. There's some sort of weird gag reflex that I'm starting to think like maybe I'm sort of intolerant to some kind of food that I'm aware of, but particularly after a meal, like I'm getting bulimic, I'll go out and I'll like
you'll make yourself puke.
You'll look good.
I won't make myself puke, but I will start getting like nauseous, and I'll have to like I'll gag on my food, and I'll fight back the urge to vomit. Oh. And if I've been drinking, like that'll sometimes push me over the edge.
It'll come up on you.
Oh yeah, and yeah, like large amounts. I don't know what's going on. I gotta see a doctor eventually one of these days.
How often do you think you puke a week?
I probably like average maybe twice.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, it depends. If I crap 8 times in a day, then 0. If I only crap 7, then I puke once.
That's the worst, because I get into the bathroom and I'm ready to, like, I'm feeling kind of pukey and stuff, and it's like a violent overthrow.
Hold on. Just say that one more time to me.
I go to the bathroom, I get ready to puke.
No, feeling kind of pukey. Oh. that was the phrase that just did it for me.
It's my stomach is kind of like violently kind of pushing me around, and I'm trying to push it back down from my throat. I don't know. It's all like in your head, and then like it starts gagging and coming up, and I'm afraid I'm going to actually like poop my pants as well, because I can't have both ends over the toilet simultaneously. So yeah, it's a nightmare. I'm a freaking mess.
It's much more important to puke on the floor than crap on the floor. Cleaning up puke off the floor is nowhere near as bad as cleaning up duty off the floor.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's clear that I'm going to puke and I might crap. So what do you sit on the floor and then
would you try to to throw up between your legs as you're sitting down?
Oh my poop.
God. That is a good move. That's a professional move right there.
If I did, I'd have to take...
That's the sexiest porno ever. They actually call that. That's a whole genre. It's called pukaki. It's awesome. It's so hot.
I get it.
Two acts, one toilet.
That's like peanut butter and chocolate right there.
Brian, can I just appeal to you? You're puking, you're eating hot sauce, you have bad acid reflux. Can you go to some sort of doctor?
I really do. You're right. I need to. It's bad. My girlfriend's constantly yelling at me for that and many other things that I'm not going to the doctor to. And it's just sheer laziness. I mean, I want to go to a doctor. I just can't. I need to find a doctor and then schedule an appointment and then go do it. And it's just lazy, basically, is what it comes down to.
By the way, if you guys weren't aware, you listen to Best in Show on a Sunday morning. So enjoy your breakfast with us. Our buddy Space Edge has already pointed out that his breakfast is ruined by us just launching right into puke topics right at the beginning of the show. God love us.
Man.
Who did that? What a jerk. Oh, I guess it was me.
I found out I have thyroiditis this week.
What does that mean?
What?
I went to my doctor, and she told me, so I reviewed the results of your biopsy. I got called 3 weeks later, by the way, to be told that they were normal. And she tells me, I reviewed the results of your biopsy, and you seem to have a low-grade thyroiditis. So apparently my body creates antibodies to fight off my thyroid.
It's a strain from the cooties, thyroiditis. It sounds like made up.
Thyroiditis means like you have a swollen thyroid.
And everyone's not on the same page, apparently, in my body. Everyone's not working together. There's inner fighting. It's like a little civil war going on inside my body. Actually, this is a battle. I guess cancer becomes the civil war when everything just busts out and goes crazy.
Is that a civil war, or is that a nuclear meltdown war? I don't know if that's a war. It's just like that's just everything implodes.
It's a war because you could win it.
What is the thyroid effect? What is it?
I don't know.
Like, people blame weight
Brian?
Gain.
Brian, you have glasses. Do you know the answer?
I don't know the answer, but isn't something about the thyroid used to... when we were young, it had something to do with our hormones. Like it gave us it had it was a part of our puberty development or something. And then we don't use it anymore. And many people in later life, their thyroid goes to crap.
I think that that's absolutely untrue. I believe your thyroid acts through your entire life. I think you're thinking of the hypothalamus.
Isn't that a part of your brain?
Exactly. I'm trying to put as much medical misinformation into a medical misinformation conversation that's happening.
Yeah, you shouldn't be taking my information. I'm wrong.
So what do you have to do now?
Well, she took some blood, and she'll let me know if I need to go on medication or if we just leave it. I have to get this thing biopsied every year. And as far as the pain in my throat, I have to basically just deal with it or start cutting around for, you know.
The thyroid controls how quickly the body burns energy, makes proteins, and how sensitive the body should be to other hormones. So if your thyroid's messed up, your other hormones can't flow through your body.
Wait a minute. How quickly? Read that again. How quickly stuff happens?
And how sensitive the body should be to other hormones.
So your whole weight loss thing is the fact that your metabolism's all effed up. I'm thinking like you've got some great idea with white flowers. You've got cancer. That's the only thing that it is. You're sick.
I wish my thyroiditis.
I wish I had cancer. No.
I wish my thyroiditis would allow me to eat whatever I wanted and just continuously lose weight or maintain. I guess I don't want to keep losing because eventually, I don't think you could go past zero.
It affects the metabolism. Maybe this is a good thing, your thyroiditis. This is really probably making you lose weight.
What if I told people every day, it's horrible to maintain my weight. I have to eat like 8,000 calories a day.
Like Michael Phelps. It's 12,000 calories a day that he eats.
Well, he could take one bite and eat 8,000 calories. So that's my thyroid story.
So this is an excuse for you to get fatter, is what you're saying.
No, I'm not getting fatter ever. What do you weigh, by the way? We're not going to do another weigh-in, but...
About 180.
I'm going to catch you soon. I will catch you.
And you can make fun of me as long as you want. What, Keith?
That's it. That's my thyroiditis.
What? That was the saddest thing. That's it. That's my thyroid.
So I don't want to keep talking about it because it's probably
going to flare up.
You don't want it. It's catchy. It's contagious. You don't want any of our listeners to have problems with their thyroiditises.
So basically, they're just saying that it's not. It's just inflamed, or they've just given it a word.
It's in flames. Actually, like flames are shooting out of his throat. That's where you were getting your heartburn from. You had a burning neck the whole time.
A burning thyroid. Yeah, I have an inflamed area there because of it, and that's it, and that's why it hurts regularly.
It hurts just right now. It hurts right now.
I'll feel sudden pain or like when I yawn or sneeze or something. It'll be like ow, like
so it's like
a rock
stabbing
in there or
pain.
Something. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah. Oof. But she said I could go to an ear, nose, and throat doctor if the pain's that bad. But I said, you know what? As long as I know what it is, I could deal with the pain.
How about they turn you on to a thyroid doctor? How's that bad? That for an idea?
I asked her. She said, what about an endocrinologist? She said, those don't exist. She said, what are you worried about dinosaurs for?
That's a good doctor. That's a good doctor. Well, at least you look good. That's all I could say. You did walk in today looking...
He does, man.
Looking swarthy, looking...
thanks.
Dark.
Swarthy?
I don't know.
I'm like the sleazy guy at the bar. With
no, swarthy. Swarthy's good.
Swarthy is definitely not good.
Fred, you found out what a hypothyroidalamus is. Find out what the definition of the word swarthy is. It's not a bad thing.
I think it's going to be a picture of Schneider from...
exactly. He
no,
is swarthy.
That's swarmy. You maniacs.
No, I think swarthy. You know who I think is swarthy also? The guy in the Pat Benatar video, that the pimp? I don't remember what the song was.
Dude,
like Love is a Battlefield or something.
Love is a battlefield. You guys are insane. You guys are totally insane. You're thinking swarmy. Swarthy is good. Like it's like you're like kind of like fashionable and stylish and slick. Is what I would think when I would say swarthy.
I think it means that you're like olive. You're like brown. It's like we're going to be swarthy next Sunday at the Labor Day show.
The word Donovan means
Donovan?
Dark, swarthy warrior. That may be where you're thinking swarthy and dark are the same.
I'm looking it up.
All right, definition.com, swarthy.
He typed in S-W-O-R-E space T-H-E-E.
Of a dark color, complexion, yeah. Or cast.
Oh, really? I had no idea. All right, so then I was...
I'm not swarthy yet.
No, your shirt. You look swarthy. Wow.
You will be swarthy, though, in a week from...
Today.
Yesterday.
Right.
I think that's what Brian was alluding to. Brian, what are you talking about?
We're gearing up for the big sundown on Saturday night. Saturday
it's
night.
It's like a shootout in the Old West or something.
We're going to a tanning, a spray tanning booth, and we're getting the darkest possible tan you can find on Staten Island. And then
I think on the planet, actually.
And then I'm going to go home and weep. And then on Sunday morning, I'm going to wake up and come to the barbecue at 72. Somebody help me out.
72 Hannah Street. Hannah Street. It's a Labor Day bash. Everyone should know all about that. But at this point,
And then show off our swarthy tans.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be dark. We're going to be delicious. There's going to be layers of sexiness going through each one of us, as I said, because we got Keith who's lost a ton of weight here from his thyroid.
I'm going to be like a swarthy onion.
Right. I can't believe swarthy doesn't mean slick. I'm really disappointed.
If I look really good, I'm going to be very swarmy too.
Okay. Like there's going to be a bunch of you just covering around someone. You're going to be a swarm.
I think you mean smarmy.
So everyone's going to look sexy. You're going to look, we're going to be all dark and nice and handsome for this whole thing. As I said last week, I've started biking now. I've started my biking, so now obviously I'm going to look unbelievably sexier as the pounds start to melt away and I start looking sexy as all sorts of hell from bike riding.
How many are you going to lose by the show?
Oh, by next week's show? Well, let's see. I'm going to do some of the math here. I got my bike last Friday. I've ridden my bike every single day except for one. I'm incrementing slowly. I started doing 10 miles, then 11, then 12. I'm now doing 15 miles a day on my bike. It's a very exciting, exciting time in my life as I'm doing this, riding around, sweating, working up, and feeling all great. I go clock in on the scale today to see what I've lost. You guys ready for this? I gained a pound.
Well, that's muscle. That's muscle mass. That's what it is.
That's the biggest fallacy in the world. I just think it's... I guess I'm just fat. And when I eat a lot of food and drink, I just will keep being fat.
Did you eat more this week because you thought you were exercising? So
no, I actually ate really good this week, too. I ate really good. I didn't drink beer. Last night was the first time I drank beer. Oh, that's not true, because on Thursday night I had a couple, but not a lot. But I was, well, yeah, and Tuesday too, and Monday. But other than those days, I didn't drink any Wednesday. And other than that, I didn't drink beer. No, and in all seriousness, I had maybe 6 beers this entire week. You know, I've been drinking a lot of vodka, but I drank 6 beers this entire week. For me, that's amazing. Yeah. I used to do like 12, 18 beers a day just, hanging.
Well, Bruce Leo in the chat room brings it up. Maybe you're riding too slow. Do you think you're giving yourself enough exercise in that 15 miles? It's not necessarily the length. It's an amount of time and the amount of struggle you're putting on your body.
I do 15 miles in 6.5 hours. I don't think that's a bad thing.
You know what? Honestly, though, somebody, and I'm not calling you fat. I don't want you to think that.
Okay.
Somebody that's as grossly overweight as Chris is,
morbidly obese, you mean?
But really, somebody that's as overweight as you are, as I was, if you were riding a bike at all, you don't need to be like... I still am, I understand. You don't need to be like Lance Armstronging up and down Staten Island, you know? I mean, you can riding a bike 15 miles slow, he will burn, he will lose weight. He's moving, his body is moving around.
I'm not moving incredibly slow. I go about 12 miles an hour the entire time. So I'm not flying... But I'm working up a vigorous sweat.
That's what I'm saying. Don't worry about how fast you're going.
Of course.
If you're doing like 75 per... You're not all out flat sprinting at 100% of your thing. But if you're going at 75% for a good 45 minutes even, that's great.
I'd go for an hour and 15 minutes with an increased heart rate, 100%.
You're not going at 100% flat out sprinting. 100% means you're biking as fast as you possibly can.
No, not 100% of my body's ability. I'm going at this even pace of keeping a sweat going and keeping my heart rate up.
If you can make that even pace at 75% of what your body can perform and do over 45 minutes, that's great exercise. That's the way that
I don't know how to gauge that, so I'm just going to say I'm making myself sweat so I feel good. Like CNC Music Factory, I'm making myself sweat, and it's fun.
So you're going to look good with your tan?
No, actually, from what I can tell, I think I'm going to look absurd.
No, tan makes you look a little bit thinner, though.
I'm going to see if he does the sculpting. Let's see if he does. If I want to get a six pack put on top of my giant belly. That I think that'd be awesome.
Why don't you just get a six pack tattoo on your stomach? Has anyone ever done that? Like a fat guy getting a six pack tattoo, not of like a six pack of beer but like a six actual six pack muscles.
I'm sure somebody's done it. Fred,
who's gonna hate getting tanned more, Chris, Brian, or Keith?
Well, I didn't think we were gonna get into this early in the show. But let's go. Let's fly with it. I've got a lot of thoughts about this Labor Day event. I've got a lot of thoughts about that, and none of those, not the smallest, not being who is going to hate getting tanned the most and who is legitimately going to back out of getting tanned. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, next week here, actually not here, but here on the internet in the same place, you're going to go to hearustalk.com, you're going to go to bestinshowradio.com, and you're going to be a part of the Hear Us Talk Labor Day Bash featuring Best in Show, featuring a bunch of live bands, featuring lots of live activities. It's going to be an outrageous thing. And as we've mentioned in the past, spoken about here on our show, we from Best in Show, in order to look good for the holidays, the last day that we're allowed to wear white, right? We're not allowed to wear white after Labor Day?
Well, the next day we're allowed to wear white.
Okay,
still.
So the second to last day that we're allowed to wear white, we're going to try and make our skin as dark as possible and wear some white clothes, look kind of handsome, and we're getting spray tans. And these delicious spray tans are
delicious?
Are going to last. Well, yeah, well, there's
sugar.
The guy explained
right.
It was sugar. Yeah, it's going to be a shocking, alarming thing, and I don't think any one of us is looking forward to this, except for Keith and I, because we've actually... Keith and I have sent private messages to each other, like, dude, we're going to look so good. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Part of me thinks Rob's psyched for it, too.
Part? Yeah, I'd say he's 100% down. He's just mad that he can't go to his usual spray tan guy that he's going to a different dude.
Keith is not doing it. Keith just said he wasn't doing it. When you said backed out, Keith raised his hand up like he was going
to
back
out. No, I was pointing at you.
Well, here's the big question.
I didn't see a finger.
Is anyone legitimately going to back out? And if someone legitimately, because I got news for you.
Consequences.
On our Heroes Talk, on the Heroes Talk forum, which if you guys are not a member of, you should be. Go over to heroestalk.com, click on forum, register, get involved in the fancy conversations that have on and talks that happen, even when the shows aren't on the air. There's actually like odds up there of who's going to back out and who's not going to back out and who's going to go in. Let me say, Fred, if you don't back out, the best money's on you.
Oh, really?
Just so you know, everyone thinks you're going to be the one who's going to back out. You and Brian both have odds pretty strong against you.
I can guarantee you, Keith is not doing it. I can guarantee you.
Do you want to make some sort of a bet, Fred?
Like a wager?
Have to gain more weight so he could be skinnier than you.
Well, I think instead of making a wager, there should be consequences of a person that does back out. If a person backs out, what happens? Do you know what I mean?
They're off the show.
Whoa.
Definitely backing out then.
That's all I had to do? That's all I had to do?
There's going to be five pale guys sleeping in late Sunday morning.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Well, I mean, I also know consequence-wise, Vanessa said she's going to punch whoever doesn't do it.
Well, that's a good consequence. That's good.
Yeah, that's hard. That's hardly the payoff that I think our listeners are looking for, seeing someone get punched instead of looking stupid.
Well, you know what? I would love to see Vanessa knock Fred out and have it on camera. I'd rather that happen as opposed to him get tanned. I'd rather see that.
I got to say that I honestly think, deep down in my heart, Fred is not going to show up. Or he's going to come up with some excuse that, like, he's away that day and he can't be there. He's, like, you know, he's painting a fence in Arizona or something.
My John Fogerty album got lost in my underwear drawer, so my wife is making me buy shoes.
And Brian, I think, is going to use... I think Brian is going to... I don't want to say he's going to blame his significant other.
Yes, he is.
But I think he's going to somehow... Some combination of blaming her and saying he couldn't make it into Staten Island that day. He's going to use geography to back him up.
You ready? Monday night, the next night, I'm going to the U.S. Open with her parents and their family. It's a big gathering. It's a special night out at we're going to the fancy restaurant at the U.S. Open where we have reservations. We're paying through the nose for it. Yeah, that's my Monday night.
The parents are going to be wondering what the new boyfriend is, what this new boyfriend is.
I didn't know she started dating black people.
You'll look good, though. You're going to look good at the U.S. Open. It's going to be fantastic.
I'm going to pull so many chicks up in Queens.
Wear a nice... Just make sure you wear a white polo shirt, white pants, and, like, Like moccasins with no socks.
You know, the
that's
only,
the look.
That's the problem, I think. The only white stuff that I have is really underwear. Like, I can show up in underwear and a t-shirt, and that's me in white. That's pretty much the only white clothing.
You don't have to wear white.
If, I mean, if you want to
look, you can wear other colors.
If you want to look good, you'd wear white. But I mean, whatever you want to do.
Well, I look good in my underwear.
You suggested we're all going to be wearing white. I have no intention of wearing white.
Oh no, I'm
going to challenge my tan with a black shirt.
I'm not suggesting that we are going to be wearing white. I'm saying that if a gentleman wants to look like a handsome Labor Day man, you wear white with your dark tan. That's the way to go. I'm going to be wearing white lipstick. I'm going to look gorgeous, gorgeous. You wait.
We do have to get like we do have to grease up our lips a little bit and do one of those pucker photoshops, don't we?
We're not going to be Guidos. We're just going to be tan.
I'm saying I'm going to look good. I'm going to look really good.
Is your personality going to change, Chris, when you get this tan?
Yes, I'm actually going to be tolerable. I'm going to be a person that you actually won't mind standing next to.
Yeah, he's going to turn into a Guido.
Well, it's going to get done. All four of us are doing it. All five of us, right? Is Giggsy in or no?
Well, that's of course. Well, that's the thing. Here's the question. Who, if any of us, is going to back out? I got to be honest. When Keith and I were talking about this yesterday, I kind of think that there's some weight to the argument that Brian is going to claim, I'm going to be on Staten Island all day tomorrow. I can't come in on Saturday night, too. I'm bailing.
That's definitely a pain in the ass. I do not want to come in here on a Saturday at 3 hours in here and coming back and then sitting around waiting for it's going to suck.
I see that as being the only possible back out. I see that as being the only possible backup. Because I don't see... What else do we have to hide from?
I think Fred is going to possibly say he's starting his job Tuesday and he can't look silly.
You can't have a tan?
I could have a tan. Yeah, I can't look like a Oompa Loompa.
You're not getting orange, dude. You're getting the darkest tan on the planet.
You're going to scare your kids.
You're going to look like fudge is what you're going for. Yeah, It's going to be an amazing experience. We're all going to get this done next Saturday. It's going to be awesome over at Naturally Bronze on Staten Island. For those of you that have any interest in checking out this fine spray tan facility, Naturally Bronze over on Evergreen on Staten Island. Good man. He's being a good sport and really helping us out and putting together a magical little thing for us. So I'm very happy about it.
Don't show up to watch it, though, because we can't fill up and crop their business.
Oh, yeah. Well, that wouldn't be a good idea. We're gonna film it. This is our YouTube video. Don't worry.
Well, that's another thing. Do we have to go in one at a time, or are we all going in together? Because if we
we're gonna be like a chorus line, like a kick line, and we're just gonna stand there. They're gonna spray us all at the same time.
Hands across, Naturally Bronze.
I could see you guys making me go in first, and then me coming out with the spray tan, and no one's there.
We're
no
gone.
One's even in the damn.
Why did he think of that before we did?
Because he's been thinking of a way to screw us since the things came up. That's why.
Well, Fred's officially going first now.
No way.
No, you know what? I think I want to go first because we all have to do it anyway, and if it looks horrible, I can't deal with knowing what I'm going to look like. So I just want to be surprised. So I'd like to go first.
Being the consummate professionals that they are over at Naturally Bronze, I can't imagine it's going to look horrible. I think it's going to look good.
Not that they're going to do a bad job, just that I'm going to look like an idiot.
I don't think it's going to look horrible. It's going to take a little getting used to because you're not used to doing it. The thing is, as I explained on last week's show, although you guys are just crazy and don't understand, darker skin, prettier skin. We're gonna look awesome. We're gonna look fantastic, like real handsome. Like, hey, what's up, guys?
It's like all week long, I put it out of my head. I kind of like every once in a while it would creep in there, but I let go of it. And just talking about it now, I don't feel good. It doesn't make me feel good knowing that this is gonna happen.
Brian's a week from doing it and he's already bitching. Imagine when he gets the tan, how much he's going to be bitching about the tan. Oh my god, it itches. I think I'm allergic to it. I'm allergic.
It's burning. No. It's burning. My skin is very sensitive. You don't think that'll happen, do you?
By the way, I tried to see if I could find some of I wanted to type up to see where the sorry. Hey guys, by the way. I wanted to find the exact address, and when I typed in Naturally Bronze and I accidentally hit images, and the first thing that pops up is a picture of a turkey, and it says Best in Show Uniper Bronze.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
So that's going to be my name next week in the chat.
Well, no, when we come in, that's what we do. As soon as we come in, we say we want the turkey. We want to look like the bronze turkey. The best in show, bronze turkey. You know what we're talking about.
It's going to be a good time, though.
And Bricks Avalon points out, what happens when one of us becomes addicted to it? I swear to God, I could totally see myself doing this on a regular.
Can I talk about our private conversation?
Yeah.
Chris, that night, we're talking about it, and he sends me a private message in Pal Talk. Dude, not even joking, I'm really psyched to look good in dark. and I responded laughing, and his thing is, he responds, no, I'm serious, I'm really psyched to look good in dark.
You know, it is going to be weird for me because of my skin tone and I guess my genetics, I literally never in my life have had a tan. I've only had a burn. When I go out and I get just a light little burn and I'm sun-kissed, I'm pink. Or I'm red and blistering. I've never, ever had a tan. I've lived on a beach.
I can't believe that you've said so many absurd terms like sun-kissed on today's show. It makes me feel so gross.
Yeah, and blistering.
I mean, being of Italian descent, being that my people were conquered by the Moors at some point, I have no problem tanning if I go in the sun, which I don't generally do. So I've definitely been tanned. And I'll be honest, I'm a handsome man. I'm a handsome, dark man. I'm going to look gorgeous.
Of course, because you have the skin tone for a tan. You're Italian. I mean, I'm...
Maron, do I?
Keith is WASP. What's Keith? Keith is Irish. Keith is going to look the craziest, though. Brian will look at least normal. Keith is going to look ridiculous.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think Keith is going to look... look the other way. Good at all. I think he's going to look horrific, but I will go so far as saying I think Brian is going to look like a buffoon.
Yeah. Brian's 100% Irish.
I think Brian's going to look a lot worse.
And this is another question. Are we all getting the same exact... tan? Are we all getting the same exact number tan?
If you listen to what the gentleman from Naturally Bronze told us last week, he explained to us the whole thing is that depending on your skin tone, he's going to make us look dark and lovely.
Okay, so it's not going to be ridiculous. He's going to really
make darkest tan on Staten Island.
Let's leave it up to the expert, though. Let's leave it up to the expert.
I'm a little excited, too. I'm excited. I am.
Canadian Page, add tanorexia to the laundry list of Keith's problems now. Oh my God, and Bricks Avalon, Brian and Fred should get Caesar haircuts right before
idea.
Time. Just get the nice short, nice handsome look.
Tape up, little tape up going on. I'll do that. I'll get a little Caesar.
You're not touching my hair.
Pizza.
Man, I love the idea. I think it's going to be awesome. The whole event I'm really psyched for. We actually we teased this last week and we talked about it. Fred brought up the fact of what more do we need to do? I mean, we've gone through, talk about laundry lists. We've gone through everything that's going to be happening. We're going to have a live broadcast of Best in Show. You're going to have live musical performances by DJ Newstyle and Germ Freak, which that right there, that alone is worth the price of admission, which, by the way, price of admission, free.
Nice.
Free. Except, there's a surcharge on it. Free. There's no charge whatsoever. You're going to come to see DJ Newstyle and Germ Freak after seeing Best in Show. After that, you're going to see the fine musical stylings of the Church of Man Love. You're going to see the musical stylings of Tryptophan. Yeah. You're going to see the musical stylings of The Humans. You're going to see the musical stylings of Terrible Tim. Whoa. The Headlocks. You're going to see... I think that's all the bands, right?
A Tano.
Led Zeppelin.
A Tano.
The Beatles. The Rolling Stones. All going to be there right after that. No, so you're going to have all these great bands coming. And we also talked about this after the show last week. I'm putting up on the Heroes Talk forum this week the first 12 or 16, we'll make that decision, who sign up that are coming in. We're going to have a box ball tournament in front of the house and get some sports activity going on. This box ball tournament, there will be a fabulous prize at the end, which will be, I haven't figured it out yet, but something, I don't know, a t-shirt.
The darkest tan on Staten Island.
A hug from five guys with the darkest tan on Staten Island.
Maybe he'll give us a gift certificate, the guy from the tanning place. We could give a gift certificate away at the party to get the darkest tan.
Giveaway, we mean we'll buy it. I'm fine with that.
Brian, I don't think you have to worry. I'm actually looking at their website at some of the tanning models, and you don't really need to get that dark. You can basically look like you have a... Or is the point, do we all have to get the darkest tan? Is that what we're doing here? I want the darkest tan possible.
I think it's ridiculous for us to do anything but get the darkest tan possible.
I want Brian to get the sunburn, actually. They just put some red in the airbrush thing.
Perfect.
At least I get, when I go into work the next day, it'll be somewhat believable. Because I've showed up at work in a painful, like, red crisp. And they'd go, oh, you went outside today. Okay, I get it.
I'm down for this box ball tournament, dog.
Box ball. Tanning. Bands. Being pointed out in the chat room. Vanessa's live report from the field will be from the field where we're hanging out. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be outrageous. We'll probably have her out in the crowd doing some sort of on-the-street reporting. What's the man on the street, lady on the street reporting? Although we haven't thought about this. I'm just coming up with this now on the fly.
Tan on the street.
Oh, my God. There's going to be a barbecue cam. You're going to actually see what kind of food is being cooked. I don't know why that would be entertaining, but still, it's going to be great.
P-Roll is asking, will there be strippers? There will not, but I think you could slip Chris a 20 maybe and get a little skin.
Well, let's be honest. I threw it out there a couple of times that I was challenging Barbara, a girl, to a bikini walk-off at this event. And she seemed eager to take me on as long as there was a Heroes Talk bikini for her to wear. And I do not believe that Heroes Talk bikini is going to be worn, so I don't believe that she'll be joining me. But that won't stop me. I will be in a bikini for this event underneath my white shirt. I'll look attractive.
A Heroes Talk bikini?
No, not at all. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Like I said, box ball, music, entertainment. Drunk. Tons of crack cocaine. Wait, no. I forgot. That part's not going to be there.
No, I can bring some.
Oh, great. I'm excited about the whole thing. I'm very excited about the whole thing. And I'll be honest with you. This is something that I've been hesitant to bring up. Specifically. Excuse me. Especially for Keith's benefit.
Ooh. There's going to be a heroin stand there?
No, just methadone. I am...
An open cash drawer.
I
with hundreds.
I am actually... Hey, by the way, how'd that ever work out? Did they ever find that money?
No. And a camera.
Was it worth it? Wait, I'm the jerk. Everyone else does it, but the minute that I make a joke about it, I'm the bad guy.
That was kind of directed at all of you, actually.
Okay. We do this program... Best in Show here on Heroes Talk, week in, week out, now for just about 3 years. It's an exciting thing, and you got some nerves or whatever, and you got some performance anxiety when it comes time, when the tape's rolling, when the broadcast's on, when the cameras are on, there's a little bit of nervousness there. I've got to say that I swear to you, I am terrified about doing a live event. Absolutely terrified about doing a live event.
You mean, as a live event, you mean being on the radio with people in front of you watching?
Yep.
That type of
100%.
Thing.
100%. I think it's an insane thing, because the thing is, I've performed in front of people. I've been in bands my whole life. I've performed. It's not about being in front of a crowd. I don't care about that. I've never had to try to be funny in an improv way in front of people, ever. And I know we do it on a show every week, but it's like we're in a room. We're in a room. Yeah. Being with people standing in front of you, I just think it's a weird thing, and that I'm a little bit intimidated by it.
Oh, God. Chris is going to be drunk at 7 a.m.
Well, a little later on, we'll talk about how I think you're actually wrong about the fact that you've never done that, but we'll save that for later when we have a special guest on our show. But I've actually done that in the past on my college radio station, been at events and had people sitting there watching, and if it makes you feel any better, it's very uncomfortable.
Hey guys, the Breeders are going to be playing tomorrow night with the Unsane, so come on down.
Now, if you're going to do it right. Hey, this is Keith on WSA. The Breeders are going to be playing with the Unsane tomorrow, and we're at a live event right now, and here's the Smiths.
See, Chris, I don't understand why you think like this, because usually you could give a crap about what people think of you.
I kind of still do give a crap.
Yeah. So what's the anxiety?
It's not anxiety into the extreme. There's a hint, maybe a little bit more than a hint. There's a boulder full of anxiety that I'm thinking. Like it feels weird to do it.
Do you not want to disappoint people because you have friends
and
family?
Know I'm going to disappoint people. That's not the question. I'm not used to doing this sort of performance live. Like, I've never done an open mic thing. I've never done stand up comedy. I don't know. I've just, I lock myself in a room with four or five of my friends and just talk. That's all.
try to picture people naked or like in their underwear.
That's a great idea. That's how I passed my driving test.
See?
I was able to do that. That someone told me, but I kept giggling the whole time because the instructor was so cute.
How'd you keep your eyes on the road?
Well, I kept thinking about my boyfriend George Glass the entire time, so it all worked out. Everything was fine.
But go ahead.
What I don't understand is why do you say for my benefit you didn't want to bring this up?
Oh, because Keith, you think Keith is going to get scared too?
I think that you can feed off of what I'm feeling.
And fear?
I think if I let you know that I'm scared,
drunk,
I think you will start to be scared. I think if I tell you that I'm confident, you'll still be scared, but maybe you'll be a little more confident. Case in point, in February of this year, we went to go do... We were on XM. We were on the Night of 100 podcast on, what was it, February 17th, if you haven't heard February 17th. 17th.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of the day we went there. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. On February 17th, we were on XM. We actually did a show for Ron and Fez, the Night of 100 podcast. If you haven't heard it, go over to our podcast page over at bestinshowradio.com, and you can actually download it and check it out. But on the way there, I was kind of cool, and I was kind of fine. I thought for a little bit. And then when I started to say that I was feeling a little nervous, Keith started acting a little bit more nervous. And I think that you feed off stuff like that. So I'm going to try and make this be the whole thing of that I'm a little bit nervous about doing the show. I'm going to try and make it be about you instead of being about me. My nervousness is your fault.
You know what? There's a perfect thing to talk about right now, but I know we're supposed to talk about it later. If our caller doesn't come in later, I'm going to... This ties into something, but...
We'll talk about it later. Yes, we did a live event this week. And I know we did a live event this week, and we're going to be talking about that later on in the show. We'll get to that.
But it just ties in perfectly.
I'm focusing right now on Labor Day. Are you nervous?
I'm nervous about the show right now. Yeah, I'm nervous. But I'm also nervous because I don't...
I'm also amped. Like, somewhere in my mind...
You're so amped you can't finish your sentence?
So no, when you jumped back, I felt like I stopped you, and I cut you off, so I wanted to let you continue.
No, go ahead. Be amped. I'll talk.
I'm not amped anymore. Now I'm nervous again. No, like I'm amped. Like somehow I think I'm coming in like I'm giving people high fives. It's going to be, yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're going to be doing chest bumps like I'm on the Knicks in 1994. It's going to be awesome.
As much as
I'm going to be 10!
As much as we've done like Church of Man Love shows and stuff, I'm uncomfortable singing in front of people. And that's why I'm usually blind drunk by the time, because then I don't really care. But otherwise, I'm not self-conscious, but I'm just kind of uncomfortable, worried about, you know, like...
When you get blind drunk, though, everyone else cares, though. That's the problem.
See, I understand your anxiety, Chris, but I...
Do you, Brian?
I do. In fact, it happens to me every Sunday at right around 9:30 when I'm on the bus heading here, and it lasts till right about 11:02.
Really?
Like, yeah. Or even you can hear it in the tension when you the first thing you say to me and I have to answer back and my mind is just a total blank drops out and I just have stage fright and then I say the words and it's kind of over.
I swear on my life. I always thought that was an act. I never once believed that there was any sort of real anxiety.
I'm not good at...
I agree, you're not good.
I have performance issues, and I'm not good.
I'm shocked. I didn't think that any of us were nervous about doing this show anymore.
About being in this room, never. Yeah. I have no problems. I have no problems being in here. I'm very comfortable being in here. I'm confident in here, even though sometimes the shows suck. I don't care. It's never nervous what's going in here. There's sometimes disappointment when I feel things don't go as well as I want them to do. Huh. I'm saying being in front of a crowd is it's going to be awesome.
And you know what's interesting, though?
My stomach's always rolling and chugging around on my way here. And,
really?
Yeah. Constantly. Every week.
Wow,
and,
I'm shocked.
And through the week and preparing for it, like trying to figure out what's going on. Yeah, I'm just not.
But then once the show's on, you're fine, right?
I'm
like,
okay.
You're not nervous
I'm okay right
now. Right?
Now. No, I'm okay right now.
It's 11:02. So you say it clicks off. When he hears doo-doo-doo, he gets so excited.
Kind of, yeah.
You know, the XM thing, it's funny. I think that kind of prepared me in a way to never be nervous for anything again. Because I kind of went in there thinking like... you know, this is about as you know, like short of David Letterman asking us to host, you know, his show. this is basically like as big as it's going to get. So I don't know if that maybe made other things after that.
See, I'm silly. I it happens to me in everything. Like I used to be involved in sporting events. I'd run cross country, and I'd be lined up with another 100 people, and I'd be nervous as hell because I'm somehow performing or something like that. And at skateboarding competitions, pretty much any time I have to be like on the clock or on a video or something like that, I'm having
Brian used to be a skate pro, right? Skate pro.
I'm having little panic attacks on the leading up to the event,
with,
and then
with
right
a skateboard,
after the event.
With a skateboard competition, I can understand a little more, though, because there's potential for injury. The only injury that you can suffer on this show or at next week's Labor Day event is embarrassment, which will be fodder for the next week's show, and it'll be funny.
Exactly.
That's I guess the consolation. That's the consoling fact about this. Like I said, being at a skateboard competition, I can understand it being weird because you might get hurt.
Actually, I shouldn't say that I haven't been nervous on the show since, because the week Chris got called away to work and Fred wasn't here, and that made me nervous. I was nervous there. I'm nervous thinking of it.
It's not even like a hurt or a pain thing. It's just being in front of people or doing stuff that people's going to see or listen to or something like that. That's the little panic that I have in the beginning of every one of these shows.
So you're going to have a lot of problems next week, Brian?
I don't think any more than I do every Sunday.
Okay,
so, yeah.
So you think at 11:02 outside it'll
be
the same thing?
All right, yeah.
Oh my God, Vito has the greatest idea in the chat room. Brian, you going to bring your skateboard next week and do a little skate demo as part of the program next
Good
week?
Good God, no!
Come on, bro.
No way.
I'll set up a banister. It'll be awesome. We'll do bomb slides the whole day.
Kickflip, bro.
I don't know. I said I didn't mean to bring up this thing that's like, I don't know, an issue. It's going to be a problem. I didn't think it was. Like I said, I think it's almost like a healthy anxiety that I guess I don't have anymore. Because I'll be honest with you, in the olden days, like the 1920s, when we used to do the Brown Lodge, there used to be at the very beginning when we first started doing the show, there was some healthy anxiety there. There was some nervousness. When I would show up, they're like, "Crap, what are we going to talk about today? Holy crap, is this going to work out?"
Well, that's what I was going to say. When we first did that I was always nervous. Then, you know, even when we weren't broadcasting to anyone, when we, you know, were just recording, or when we had our own,
that would be the length of our broadcast, right? That would be from beginning to end.
And even before we were on our old station, Radio BBQ, but we were just broadcasting to. We knew no one was listening. It was going to strictly be a podcast thing. But I was really nervous then.
I was.
But you could feed off that nervousness. If you know how to feed off that nervousness, you know, it could be a good thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, as much as I'm kind of scared and intimidated by the whole thing, I'm amped. Like, I just want to be running in. Like, I want there to be like, wow, oh, man. You know, everything just changed. Everything has changed. I'm taking my shoes off onto the table. I'm going out of my mind. I'm excited for this thing. It's going to be the greatest thing in the world. This is going to be, we're going to be dark. We're going to have all sorts of things. Music. It's going to be amazing. I want, more than anything else, I want to, like, burst in. Almost like a pro wrestler into this thing. Like, storming out. Like, here it is. It's Best in Show. And then the music will come pumping in. As soon as we come in, it's going to be huge. Hey Donna, don't you wanna be tan like me? We can hang out, baby. What's that thing? I should have let it end right there, right? It would have been good if I ended with baby. What's up, buddy?
That was a fantastic lead-in. That's how I want all of my theme songs to start.
It's huge. It's gonna be.
I'm a pro wrestler.
Yeah, you know, but that's kind of like what it should be. That's what I'm feeling about this. Do you have any? I mean, I feel silly even asking because I know the answer already. Do you have any sort of anxiety or anything about this big live event next week?
Wait, you think that I do or that I don't?
Oh, I think that you. I think it's silly to think that you would. I think that you're cool as a cucumber, and I couldn't even imagine that you would
really
have an issue. Well, am I wrong?
I have a lot of serious anxiety just all the time, but I think I cover it up well.
Obviously.
I don't know.
I've done
radio events before, you know, like in front of big crowds, and it's a little, you know, there's a little nerve, there's a little stomach thing, like you maybe don't, you're not hungry, you know, before, you can't eat.
So do you have any nerves leading into our big event next week, Vanessa?
No, because I think it's different because it's with you guys than it is if you're just, like, with strangers, like, with a bunch of people who are, you know, like, you only know from work. Like, we all know each other, so I think it's fine. I'm not, I'm not scared of the live audience, really, because that's going to be a bunch of people we know, too, mostly, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vanessa, it's fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, I don't know. Even knowing people, I think maybe even that puts a little more pressure on. That's the thing I'm at. Maybe if for the show, I could do the show through a megaphone from across the room, like your phone right now, Vanessa. Maybe that would help me get through it. What's going on? Are you on like a speaker or something?
No, I'm on a cell phone, but I'm actually this is part of my moving into a new place. I'm actually in a room with no furniture and kind of high ceilings.
What?
So I don't know if yeah. I have nothing. I have nothing, and it shows.
So does it help thinking about any sort of nervousness and uncomfortableness for me to pour into spotlight on something like that?
Thanks, buddy.
I try and do what I can.
By the way, I love Deja is pointing out that Vanessa is reporting live from a well right now.
it does sound, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a natural reverb. It's nice. It's crisp natural reverb. It just wasn't what I was expecting. If you actually watch this on video, we're all just like looking at you like, wait, what the hell's going on? Why does she sound like we hear you clearly, but it's just different than you've ever sounded.
I can't wait to see how she decorates her bomb shelter.
What? Great.
That was mean-spirited almost. Awesome. So what's
well,
going on?
I'm going to blaze forward as long as it sounds okay.
Yeah.
Although echoey.
No, it sounds fine. It sounds fine. Like I said, it just sounds different. It wasn't that it sounded weird. It wasn't that it sounded bad. It just sounded different.
Okay. Well, one of my favorite threads on the Hear Us Talk forum is called Regular Everyday People Who Should Be Murdered Horrifically. Perhaps because my life is in flux these days and I'm more stressed than usual, I've been especially sensitive to the world around me and how much of it I think should be cleansed by fire. This week, I took note every time I passionately hated complete strangers, and here's my list. Pedestrians who leisurely stroll into the street in the middle of traffic and don't acknowledge the fact that cars are driving there and will be forced to stop. If they don't look at the cars don't exist.
Totally.
Pedestrians who cross in the middle of traffic and hold their palm up to halt you and your car like Moses parting the seas. We have a system for crossing streets, and showing drivers your hand is not part of it. Narrators. People who do a constant running verbal commentary of their life while alone in public. When I worked retail, this sent me into spasms of hatred every single day. Standing alone in an aisle, what motivates a person to say all their thoughts out loud? Oh, snap, they got this? $5, though. Damn, I'm gonna have to come back. People who sit in their cars outside my building with their music so loud and the bass so pumping that it vibrates my entire apartment. I pray for the loss of control of their bowels. Parents who pretend they can't hear their children speak, forcing the child to say, Mommy, 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 you know what? It came out of you, why won't you answer it? Families who have kids out in public well past a child's bedtime, not on their way home from somewhere, but just hanging out at midnight with their toddlers. And finally, chicks. I don't know, a lot of them just bug me. So anyway, those are the people whose houses I wish a pox upon from this week. I'm Vanessa Cheatwood.
I will say right off the bat, I was driving on Forest Avenue yesterday on Staten Island. And actually, our buddy Vito had his engagement party yesterday. And leaving Vito's engagement party, there was a young gang of hoodlums of, I'd say, like, you know, anywhere between the ages of 9 and 12 that insisted upon walking diagonally through an intersection without looking in either direction, knowing that they were going, no matter what, you're going diagonally. No matter what, you're blocking someone when you're going through this. And they just walked directly through it and thought it was hilarious that they were making cars stop as they're doing it. And that makes me insane. Insane.
It makes me insane with anger. And I'm in a car, so I could commit vehicular homicide right then. You know, and I couldn't decide today as I was driving whether I was more angry at the people who pretended I wasn't there or the ones who held their hand up at me like, yo, I'm walking here. played. I couldn't figure out which one I hated most.
But were they doing it in the douchebag, haha, you have to wait, or like, oh, I'm going by, just hang out a minute?
Yeah, like kind of like, you know, like it was official, you know, like this is how you stop traffic. Yo, I'm walking.
I've got to be honest, as much as I hate this stuff, I know that when I was younger, I definitely used to walk through traffic and hold my hand up at cars all the time to walk through in the middle
of it. That's because you were a jerk off.
Was? I was? Yeah.
Just saying, like, you were a jerk off.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%. There's not even a slight question as to whether that's true or not. I agree.
See, I probably one of the only courteous pedestrians out there. Like, if I'm
me, I'm probably the best person who ever lived. I just noticed this about myself.
Chris, he's a professional walker.
Well, that's true. Yes, I mean he's taken it seriously.
He has the experience.
If I'm crossing the street with a walk sign and there's three cars trying to make a turn,
I will throw rose petals in front of those three cars so they can have a nice road to drive on.
Bro, what did I do to you today? Yeah, exactly. Vanessa was a jerk off. Yeah, I will let the three cars turn and then I will cross the street.
Even though you have the right of way, or you both
I'll let them go. I'll let them go first.
I'm asking. You both have the right of way.
Both have the right of way. Okay. I have the walk sign, and they have the green light to turn.
No, then you have the right of way.
That's true.
I have the right of way, yeah. But you know,
you're
and this is also
right
Staten Island,
the
so they're going to challenge you and try to go first anyway. So I'll just it's also a defense mechanism, so I don't get killed by somebody that just would rather run me over than go.
All right. If I'm in that situation, and then I finally find myself, in that situation often. If they're I will often yield my right of way. And by the way, you have the right of way in that decision. What you say goes. So when you're crossing that road and they're trying to gun in front of you, you have every right to jump on their hoof and punch your fist through the freaking windshield. And
is that part of the law?
Grab them by the throat and then choke them until they stop breathing. Welcome to my world. This is how I think walking around the city every moment of every day. It's really.
I was really hoping that this one would get Brian fired up.
She went through the list and it was like one was worse than the other, and it's just my head started getting. I'm actually angry listening to a bunch of these things now because I've been in these situations constant amount of times, and yeah, so many of them should just. They don't belong. They don't belong in a city. They don't belong amongst us if they're going to clutter up and mess the system up.
You know what else bothers me? As someone that's never driven a car aside from a few lessons, let me set up the situation. There's somebody waiting to turn. There's oncoming traffic basically going the way I am. Like, in other words, I'm crossing a street. They're coming from the opposite lane, and they are waiting for the cars going, you know, the other direction to turn, right?
I'm really confused. Okay. You guys are running parallel to each other, just in opposite directions.
Right.
Okay.
So the cars that are running in the same direction parallel to me, they have to wait for those cars to pass. So
right.
Sometimes I'll turn around and I'll see, you know what? They have a rare opening. I'm going to let them go before I cross the street because I can cross at any time. And I'll wave. And the person that, instead of saying, oh, this guy's letting me go and drives and does the, no, you have the right of way, go thing. I know they're being nice, but it drives me insane. I'm letting you go. Go. Why do we have to get into, like, to me it's like, oh, I'm in a car, bro. I tell you when to go.
I was I actually had a moment like that on Newdorp Lane a couple of weeks ago, right by my third favorite comic store on the planet, Jim Hanley's Universe. As I was walking by the store, there was a woman that was looking to make a turn, and I had a green light. I had that little white Walkman telling me to walk. So I was walking across the street, and as she's rounding the corner, she's screaming out the window, "This sign says don't walk!" As she's going by, to which, of course, I have to scream, "No, C-word! It says walk, stupid!" You know, and whether as she drove by that actually sunk into her head or whether she actually heard what I said, but like I was pointing at the sign, like that made me mad.
See, that's the problem. You have to run down, chase that woman down, and actually inform her of how she was wrong.
But the problem is, I am not the liquid metal guy from Terminator 2. I was not going to be able to chase down a vehicle going down the street.
Oh, you know she's got another next block. She's got another obstacle.
That block is actually the shortcut block. That's why people go down there, because you can fly through with no lights, like the half a length of Highland Boulevard.
I'd find a way. She'd no longer be with us.
I know, but that's because you are powered by your fury and your insanity, and you would become the Terminator dude and make those metal hooks come out of your hands that you climbed on the trunk of her car and got in.
Powered by fury, determined by rage.
Seriously, why is that not your new record?
Or
your biography.
I love it. It's the fact that it's all inspired by just a lack of consideration as well. Like, I'm now going to light you on fire and kill you because you're not being nice. Like, there's just the logic for some reason.
By the way, Deja points out when Keith walks around the city, he's constantly yelling, I'm walking here. But I think actually what he's doing is saying, I'm walking here as soon as you're done. Because I'm going to let you go, no, then I'm
going
to go.
I'm walking around
you.
Going, I'm letting you go here. I'm not walking here.
I'm walking here as soon as you're done.
Awesome. I think the person that drives in the left-hand lane on the highway and goes slower than the speed limit should be killed.
Say again?
A driver that drives in the left-hand lane of the highway and doesn't do the speed limit should be decapitated.
All right, well, there's a problem here.
I hate it.
I'm about to start a radio war between us and our friends at the DJ New Style show.
Wait, because they agree with me?
Germ Freak. One Mr. Germ Freak says that he, in a couple of his shows, I've heard a couple times there, and no one has smacked him around enough to beat this this habit out of him. He purposefully goes into the left lane and drives at precisely the speed limit because he thinks, well, you know, I can go the left lane, the fast lane. He goes in the fast lane and drives at exactly the speed limit because he figures it's the speed limit that's as fast as anyone should be going, so therefore I have a right to drive here in the speed limit. And he'll box people out. Someone will try to pass him, and he'll pass in front of it. He'll make it so that the person can't pass him.
I will go so far as to say that I believe the middle lane is for the speed limit. The right lane is for people that want to go slower than the speed limit. The left lane is for those that want to go faster than. But if you choose to drive in that left lane, as long as you're going at the speed limit, like Fred was saying before, if you go under the speed limit,
I hate it.
That's insane. If you're going at the speed limit, it's tolerable because there's a certain etiquette and courtesy and ability that it should be adhered to, but that courtesy is lending itself to doing things that are technically illegal. So I don't have a problem, per se, with someone riding the speed limit in the left lane.
I have a horrible problem with them driving at the speed limit, which is to say... slower than anyone should be driving on any freaking road out there, because the speed limit is not a comfortable pace to drive on most roads.
Regardless, it is the legally defined limit for speed.
But it's inconsiderate to drive in that speed lane at what has been recognized as too slow. It's the rule of the road not to drive slowly in the fast lane.
To say it is recognized as being too slow, I think, is a bit extreme, because I have no problem with going 65 most of the time. I'm happy. I can drive 65.
But if you see a guy coming up your butt in the left-hand lane, do you get over the middle lane, let him pass, and then get over the left?
Of course. But that's because, I mean, as I said earlier today, I'm maybe the most courteous driver ever in the history of the world.
Sure. Germ Freak boxes the person out. He's in the middle lane. He sees someone coming up faster than the speed limit on the left lane. He cuts in front of him, and he stops, and he drives the speed limit. And then it gets the flashing and the beeping and the stuff, and the car pulls over into the other lane, and then Germ Freak pulls over in the other and boxes him out. He'll drive up to the car. He'll drive fast up to the car next to him, and then drive the same speed limit right and left. I would set his car on fire. I would set his car on fire if
How?
I was one of those guys.
How? Are you Drew Barrymore now? Like, you're from another car, you're just going to make his car burst into flames? How are you going to do that?
I would shoot it with my gun or something in the gas tank, and it would explode like it does in all the video games.
Don't get me wrong. I it's a jerk move. It's part of what's endearing about the weirdo creep, and I like that about him because I've never been the guy behind it and had to deal with it.
Equinox just coined the term nerd rage for Brian.
I
would make rockets.
But by the way, our buddy Brick Savalon points out that where he is over in Colorado, whenever there's some sort of jerk that doesn't get out of the left lane, they almost always have New York plates. So maybe it has something to do with a condition around these parts.
Well, I did find when I was living in California that they don't seem to recognize that law. Like, in California, you kind of somehow magically get into a lane, and then the rule is never to change that lane. Like, you stay in a lane regardless of what lane you just happen to have gotten into. They don't seem to recognize passing lane, right lane, slow lane, or whatever. So you're getting out into the left lane, and you want to go fast, and people are just... they're going at whatever speed the slowest person is in front of them in the lane. They don't change. It's bizarre.
From what I understood, and I can only speak as a spectator, I'll actually have to defer to you and Vanessa, the two people who are here that actually lived in California. I just understood that driving in California in general is somewhat of a more lackadaisical sport than say it is here in New York overall. Not only just the lane thing, just in general, that speeding isn't really a thing that happens all that much, unless of course it's that you're looking to open up open up your Lambo.
No, there's tons and tons of speeding. Everybody drives very, very fast, but it's not aggressive speeding. It's not trying to get, you know, desperately trying to get one car ahead of you so that you can be 10 feet ahead at the light. Like, that's not the thing that's done. But when you're on the highway, everybody's doing 85.
It is kind of like that. Everyone is going faster, and you're staying in the... But that's the thing, is that you're going at whatever speed you happen to be stuck in that lane with. Like, someone's deciding how fast this lane is going to go because they happen to be, you know, they want to be slow. And that slow means 75 miles an hour. And the lane next to them happens to be 85 something.
Is this strictly, though, a... I don't know, is it a symptom of the personality? Is it just a New York thing to be the jerk that wants to get one car ahead? Well, I don't know.
I think a lot of that is also based on the traffic scheme. Like, you come out here on the East Coast, and a lot of the cities are smaller. If you're 10 feet ahead of the person in front of you, you're going to get that light, and you're going to be able to make the left, or you're going to be able to get that light, which will put you on the next light. If you're driving down 2nd Avenue and you drive 35 miles an hour, you're going to be able to travel 60 blocks. If you drive at 32 miles an hour, you're going to go 4 blocks before you hit a stoplight.
But if you go 40 miles an hour, you're going to have to hit your brakes at every red light.
I agree. But if you're stopped behind some idiot who's doing 25 and you have to make the next light, you have to race up to go 40 or whatever. It's the lights and how they're timed and how you have to do it, which justifies being a jerk, I guess, New York City. But they don't change lanes in California. That's the weird thing.
Doesn't Brian not have a car?
What is he talking about? Doesn't he not have a car?
What the hell is he talking about miles an hour?
Oh,
what,
in the train.
Oh, the train.
He's yelling at the train conductor the whole time.
That's the best thing, actually.
I can't believe that son of a bitch in the 6 is going so slow. We're in the 5 over here. Yeah, but that's because he's a local train and we're an express train. Still, doesn't he know we should be in the left?
And let me just address something else Vanessa pointed out. The parents that suddenly don't hear their children anymore.
Oh, it drives me insane. It drives me absolutely insane. I was on an airplane coming back from Florida, and there was a child sitting next to a mother who actually had her iPod on. She was intentionally drowning out the child, and it just sat there the whole time going, "Mommy, Mommy," and like patting her on the leg, and she just pretended it wasn't there.
I, you know, this is actually a whole thing that I wanted to get into on the show, and it's an insane thing that I'd love to go to at this point. It doesn't. I thought that when I had a kid, and when my child grew up, that maybe the whole thing of just being able to drown out your kids screaming for you all the time was just a thing that would happen naturally, because I saw it happen all the time and never believed. You know, I was like, wait, why are they just not saying something to their kid? Why are they just, I don't know, like, what?
Your mother did it to you. Your mother did it to you, Chris. You know?
No. My mother was good. She was always acknowledging me and telling me, you know, shut up or whatever. But she would acknowledge me at the very least. So when I would see other people do this, I thought, like, wow, how does this even happen? Maybe it's just something that just happens. That, you know, eventually, like, you know, someone could be in a supermarket and be talking to their wife and does, it's going on in their face and they could ignore it the entire time. And I'll be honest, I haven't acquired that skill, or that skill set has gone past me. Because when my daughter says "daddy," I look over and say "what," And that's really all you have to do, because then just say, nothing. And then, you know, and then you just, you know, whatever, and you go on with your day. So I just always thought that was the thing. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to claim like that I'm parent of the year or anything like that. I'm far from. I'm a, you know, a moron that could barely tie my own shoes. You know, it. But there's a whole almost like, I don't want to say not caring, but there's almost like children are a lot more of an accessory for their parent as opposed to, I don't know, what should be the cause of their existence, you know, their reason for being at this point, as far as I can tell. And again, I have a 4-year-old. It's a little different for me. I don't have a 10-year-old. I don't have a 16-year-old, whatever. To me, my reason for existence is to make money, to make my kid have the best life that she can, and, you know, do what I can to make my kid have the best life that she can. So I don't know. So, but I don't buy into the whole ignoring thing, but maybe it's just me.
See, Chris, you're looking at it from the kid's point of view. I mean, you're looking at this thing and saying and passing judgment on the parent, whether they're a good or a bad parent. And I don't care. From my perspective, shut that freaking kid up when he's in public. If he's saying, mommy, 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 you can't hear it. You've tuned it out, or you're aggressively trying to train that child into doing it. But the 20 people around you can. You have to make that child shut up.
I don't disagree even a little bit, but I think my drive in doing it is a little bit more wholesome than shutting kids up. But I do agree that the end result is the same, that you want to – it's not the end result. The end result happens to be the same, but the drive behind it is not to shut a kid up. Mine would be to actually find out what a kid wants. But same difference.
Right. I guess if you're the parent, that would be one.
I don't understand – I'm sorry. I don't understand. I mean, if any person was speaking to you and saying your name, wouldn't you turn and say yes? Like, I don't understand, because it's a small person, it's okay to ignore them.
Well, they're like less of a person. They're like, what is that? What was the Jim Crow law? They're like 3/8 of a person or 5/8 of a person. I think that's what most of them are thinking.
I love when they're on the cell phone, too. That's why I wanted to go back to it. When they're on the cell phone, and that's why they're ignoring the child. And then eventually, like, after 4.5 minutes, you get a, what?
Why have you been saying this for 4 minutes?
Mommy, I'm on fire. Mommy, I'm on fire.
I'm dying.
No, I agree that acknowledging the kid and seeing what is perhaps wrong or answering him is, you know, probably the smartest way to do it. Perhaps that parent has done it 8 million times before and gotten the response where, you know, the kid just said, my bippy and the boop boop bop ba, and then went back to saying mommy 20 million times in a row.
So
you know,
what?
I mean, I'm not justifying
that is your lot in life, because you chose to have a child, and that is your responsibility to deal with. Who effing cares if your kid is going to say bippy boop boop bop bop?
I agree.
Because I say what to my kid a million times a day, and my kid will say nothing. Like, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so nothing. Okay, cool.
I'm not justifying that they should do that. I'm trying to crawl into their heads and saying why they're doing it. They're trying to train their kid at it. But it's not acceptable.
Way, I totally missed Rob Kicks in the chat room. Mommy, my thyroid is flaring up.
Yeah. You know what, sometimes I'm afraid because, like, I always have a thing, like, I'm not going to say anything to anyone anyway if the kid's acting up, but then sometimes I feel bad because...
You're never going to throw a child through a screen at a movie theater because they ruined Indiana Jones 5 for you?
But sometimes I'll think, oh, wait, because a lot of times you'll realize a child is autistic if they're having, like, you know, like a...
I'm not going to do it. I was going to do the dumb joke. I'm stopping myself.
Wow. You of all people were going to do it? I'm sorry.
What difference does it make if the kid can paint?
Oh,
that's exactly where I thought it was going.
But, and then I'll realize, oh, maybe that's the case. And then I feel bad that I got mad, you know. But then I feel cheated if it was just a perfectly normal child that was being a brat.
It's a kid.
Cheated out of my anger.
But they're kids. They're kids, and they're going to be jerks. And they're going to be rude. And they're going to be... ways that you don't like them to be, but they're yours. You made them. You bought that. You have to keep it, and you have to take care of it, and make sure that, one, the people around you are pleased, to keep Brian you know, contented in this.
I'm glad that's number one.
Although that's secondary for me,
it shouldn't be.
But I'm saying it for you. I know, because considering other people is the most important thing in the world.
Yeah.
I guess it is. But to me. It's, you know, just do what you can to make this kid be a person and have a normal life and not have to feel like a creepo. I don't know. you know, again, I'm not the parent of the year.
You should write a parenting book, Chris.
Yeah, I probably should.
I'd read that. Yeah.
Drink, 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 drink. Wake up. Oh, mom did a good job. Good. Drink, 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 drink. Wake up. Oh, mom made food for me. Oh, yeah, and I think the kid ate, too. That's my parenting book.
I think it would be, what is it, honey? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to claim that I'm like the parent of the year, not by any stretch of the imagination, but I just don't get, like wild kids and just ignoring kids. I don't get it. I don't get it. I went to the playground this week with my daughter and just watching kids running around, screaming, jumping off things, wrestling, fighting. And we're talking like 5 year olds. Like I understand like a 10-year-old, 8-year-old kid, like boys wrestling. I understand like little kids. Beating the crap out of each other, you know, and one kid's screaming and no one's stopping the fight happening, and then the father be like, come on, stop, you know, like that's the extent of it. No, don't break his arm, no bad.
That sounds horrifying.
Nah, he tapped out, come on.
That sounds horrifying. That's a horrifying experience to me.
And I just don't understand if the issue is the fact that my wife and I have not cut the cord, or that the rest of the world threw their kid miles from them seconds after they were, you know, they were out of the womb.
I think, unfortunately, that's the case.
I got to be honest. I think it's a combination of both. I think my wife and I are a bit overprotective. I think it's a problem that we're overprotective and other people are underprotective at the same time. I don't know. What do I know?
Congratulations, Parent of the Year.
Thank you. Chris. This is what I've been lobbying for. Here's my acceptance speech. Drink, drink, drink. Did something happen? Good. Thank you. Awesome. Vanessa, I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see you next week.
I'm gonna see all of you.
Hey, wait a minute. Was that thinly veiled sexuality? Oh, yes, you meant
because I'm going to be filming you getting your tan.
Oh, it's gonna be awesome. Should I go nude? I shouldn't go nude, right? I should wear like a Speedo or something.
Well, I have some potential bikinis that I could fit you with. I don't know. I haven't gone through. I have some overstock material that I'm not sure I have something in your size.
I was going to say, so Vanessa, are you anywhere aware of what size I am? I don't think you could possibly have anything that could come close to fitting me.
But see the way that bikinis work, you know, they have ties. So I mean, it may not fit beautifully. It may not be exactly your size, but as long as we can get it around you and tie it, it fits, right?
An extension cord, a bungee cord attached to the bikini strap.
Dude, if we
duct tape.
If we put the bikini on Chris while he gets a spray tan, he can have like the little spray tan lines.
Exactly,
for the
tan lines that Keith finds oh so hot. Maybe I should get that going.
Vanessa, he's a petite 60.
Yeah, right. 60 petite. That's my size.
With only double D cups.
Oh, come on. I'm small breasted.
He's flat chested.
Yeah, he's all A. God didn't bless him there.
The belly part in a bikini, that's not relevant. As long as he's got svelte little hips and, like, you know, not a big bust, we should get him in there.
No, I've got childbearing hips. I don't know about that. Yeah, no, I'm what we refer to as a flatso. I'm a heavy girl with no boobs.
I think I could fit into a B cup bra even now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture of me on the wall, shirtless, and I think I'm a little heavier now than I was there. But still, I've got no chest. I have no boobs.
Hey, Vanessa, who do you think is going to look the best with their tan?
Like legitimately the best or funniest?
No, legitimately the best. We all know who's going to look the funniest.
Are you saying we're going to look funny?
I think yeah, you're going to look ridiculous. I think, I don't know, Fred, you might be able to pull off the tan the easiest.
Really?
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah.
Shocked.
That's shocking to me. I would think without question the one who's going to look the best out of us is going to be Giggs. I think Giggs is naturally, he's a dark fella. I think he's going to look nice, all tarry and delicious.
Well, here's the real...
It's really your faces that I'm concerned about. Like, your bodies are going to be one thing, but if you get your heads all tan, like, that just looks ridiculous on anybody.
What about my entire shaved head all tan? That's going to be the highlight.
Are we gonna like, spell things out on it, like a billboard, you know?
No, that's just...
Have you ever seen when girls lay out, they put that little, like, Playboy Bunny decal, like, on them, and then they get the tan line? We could do something like that on your head.
I was about to say, Vanessa, why are you trying to make a joke out of this? We're trying to do something serious and nice, but I love the idea of a Playboy Bunny. I love the idea of a Playboy bunny or like the Polo logo on your chest.
Why wouldn't you get the I'll best put
something
show logo?
I think I'll put something on my chest, but I don't know about... I do have to go to work a couple days later. I don't know about a, like a logo on my head now at this point.
A swastika on your forehead.
No, that's fine.
Oh, my God. Bruce Leo asked the question. I was planning on shaving my head, but is anyone going to bleach their hair and spike it? Maybe I grow my hair for the next week so I could bleach it and spike it.
Can you grow it enough in the next week to spike it?
If when you bleach your hair, it stretches a little bit, it'll be enough that it'll look spiked.
I don't want to look ridiculous.
Again, you're looking to be a Guido. This isn't about that. It's just about how the darkest tan.
Yeah, I know, because Guidos are the only people with bleached... what Guido bleaches their hair and spikes it? They have dark hair.
Bleach and spike it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you just meant spiking it like, you know,
I'm gonna look like
dye it gray?
I'm going to look like Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Hot. Except dark. And fat.
I'm pretty sure his hair wasn't spiked. It was just his name because he was a vampire.
Oh.
Would it be weird if Vanessa nailed it and Freddy is like just a naturally swarmy kind of guy? And
why swarmy?
Because he's naturally dark. Like he actually needs to be dark or something. And we all come out looking like freaks, and he actually comes out looking like a... There's like a TV star. Or
there's
something.
No way I'm going to look good. There's no way any of us are going to look good.
I'll tell you right now. I've naturally had my skin in the past get darker from being out all summer, and it doesn't even look natural when it's the regular sun doing it to natural. Me. So. Not that naturally bronze isn't going to do a great job and make us look natural, because I'm convinced they are. I wouldn't be letting them do it, but I'll still.
I know, Keith, that like being a pale and freckly person myself, like if I get any kind of color on me accidentally, it just looks like I'm dirty. You know, it looks like I need a shower.
Yes.
I hope they miss a spot on my head.
So, Vanessa, Keith is definitely going to look the weirdest, right?
Yeah, I think Keith has to look the weirdest. I don't know. You're all going to look retarded. I'm sorry.
I think I don't know. I think me and Brian are going to look equally weird because Brian actually has light hair to offset the whole thing.
There's not a question. Brian is going to look the weirdest.
Yeah, I really think that there's no way that any of you guys are going to come close to how freakish I'm going to look.
I'll say that Keith's going to be a close second. I'll say Keith's going to be a close second, but you're definitely going to look the worst.
Guys, I think you're forgetting about 25% of my Mediterranean Greek blood in me.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, so smear feta cheese on your chest when you're done. It'll look awesome. So, Vanessa, are you going to, for your tanning, are you going to be going nude, or are you wearing a bikini for it?
No, I'm not tanning.
Oh, I can't believe she backed out.
Yeah, I was never in. I didn't back out of anything. I'm going to be documenting. I am there as a
news
person.
Reporter. News reporter. We understand.
This is going to be exciting, man.
I don't get involved in your shenanigans. I just look at them.
So does that mean like if you see it going wrong, you're not allowed to interfere?
She just looks at them and points and laughs.
Well, Vanessa, we can't wait to see you.
Yeah, I think I just have to document it. If it's all going wrong, I just, you know, I can't get involved.
Shame about that thing you did seconds ago that I could have saved you from. Oh, well. Sorry to hear about it. Awesome.
I got it on tape.
Awesome. Vanessa, we're looking forward to seeing you next week. It's going to be an exciting all time. Right. The big Labor Day bash. Are you going to get involved in the box ball tournament yourself?
Maybe.
Oh, man.
Maybe it's box ball.
She just said it right there. Vanessa, she's taking all comers in the box ball tournament. She predicts she's going to sweep and wreck the competition.
Taking all comers. Ooh.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Oh, it's that kind of party? Now I'm psyched. I'm going to be all dark.
It's going to be awesome. With white shirts? Oh, wait. Sorry. Forgot.
Are there going to be any ladies at this event?
You?
You, Keith.
I don't count.
Me.
I
hope to see everyone, all our listeners hear us talk.
I want us to crush Ronnie's house. I want his house to be crushed. I want thousands to descend upon his house, and it's going to be the biggest thing in the history of America.
Like hear us talk locusts.
Oh, my God. Well, we will swarm on his house because we're swarmy. It's going to be terrific. Vanessa, we're going to see you next week, buddy. It's going to be exciting.
All right.
God bless.
See you guys there. Darkest hands.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you? This is Jack Francone, host of Jack Sessions, the world's first and only podcast dedicated to masturbation techniques. Thank you for coming. You're listening to Best in Show Radio on HeroesTalk.com. Hey, Why don't you be a man and listen to every show and hear us talk? Like the DJ New Style Show. You might be missing some stuff like this.
Live from the coolest room in the world ever, this is the Jimmy Francon Super Radio Funnest Hour Ever! Everybody look
around, hear the sound, hello everyone out there listening. I'm Jimmy, Jimmy Francon, and I'm doing a show just like my dad did a show, except my show's not about touching your privates. He wouldn't tell me what Jack Sessions meant, but my mom did, and she was mad and threw him out. Now he's in a motel and he drinks a lot, and he says he lost his job, but he really got fired. Well, tonight I want to talk about cool stuff that's super cool stuff like gym and lunch and cartoons, but I have to answer the phone when it rings, okay? And you can call Jimmy Francon on the super cool radio funnest show ever made. Okay, we have a caller. Hi, you're on the Jimmy Francon super coolest radio funnest thing that I've ever heard because
listen,
it's cool.
Up here,
show.
You little son of a f***ing bitch.
Dad!
You tell that f***ing whore mother of yours that she's not getting one f***ing red cent.
Mom,
she's not gonna get one red cent. She can't prove anything.
Dad, if you haven't started shopping for Christmas yet, I want a new bike because my old bike got stolen by black kids.
I don't... You are f***ing done with me, you little f***ing shithead. If you ever talk to me again... I'm gonna kill you, and I'll kill your poor mother. You can't.
Dad.
The beauty of it is she
Dad.
Has no legal legs to
Dad,
stand
Dad.
On.
Mom's already got a new boyfriend, and I think he's coolest.
You little.
Mom's new boyfriend's a lawyer, and he's set to record the show because you're a loser, and you're gonna call in filthy drunk
Jesus
and threaten to kill him.
Christ, one. Load in the back of a Chevette in 1995 and my life's ruined.
What's a load in a Chevette?
You.
Dad, you still there? No, he hung up. Well, that's the end of Jimmy Francon's super magical ultra major ninja dragon punching hour, and I'm the coolest, and bye.
The DJ New Style shows live every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. on Heroes Talk and in Pal Talk in the Heroes Talk radio chat room. The DJ New Style Show is proud to be a part of the Heroes Talk Radio Network.
So you're down with swinging?
Yum, 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 yum.
So you're down with swinging?
Yum, yum.
I just want to eat your ass.
Yum, yum.
Eat your wife's ass.
Yum yum.
I just want to eat your wife's ass. I just want to eat your wife's ass. I just want to eat your wife's ass.
Yum 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 yum.
I just want to eat your wife's ass. I just want to eat your wife's ass. I just want to eat your wife's ass.
What up?
Wow. That was quite a song. That's quite a song. Was that on WKTU this week?
Sounds delicious.
It's funny because this week I got a call from Chris apologizing.
Yeah.
The first call I ever got from Chris apologizing. It's very strange.
Kind of creepy?
It's a little creepy.
I told you guys I've been bike riding. I've been bike riding, and when I rode my bike on Tuesday, I think it was, I listened to this week's Best in Show. Or maybe it was Monday. I listened to the last week's Best in Show. And as I'm sitting there listening to the show, I'm listening to me talking about eating Fred's wife's ass. And dare I say, it didn't come off so nice. It came off a little creepy, came off a little gross, and I felt really bad about it because, you know, they were jokes. I do jokes. I'm trying to be funny. I was just like, wow. That wasn't a joke. That was a creepy dude who seemed like he was trying to do it with his friend's wife. And I felt bad about it. I felt bad, so I called and said I'm sorry.
That was very nice of you to call and say you're sorry. I appreciated it. I really did.
Did your wife accept?
She didn't even hear the show, so she has no idea.
You just
did it for nil.
It's best that she not know anything about it. As long as you know that I feel bad about it, that's all that matters.
Well, thank you.
See, because I'm a caring guy. I'm not the monster that Keith makes me out to be. I'm actually a person who hangs out and is a dude Who's that? Thanks. Thank God. Get me out of this thing. Save me. Save me, Jesus. Save me. You're on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show. Who's this?
Bricks Avalon.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hi, I got something real quick before you get off the topic of what Vanessa mentioned.
Don't worry about it. We'll stay on any topic as long as we want. Don't worry about it. What do you got?
Oh, nice. Good. So, St. Clair's Church, Staten Island, about a year after I first had my first communion, with my mom in church, go up to receive communion, come back, sit down in the pews, mom's kneeling down, and I decide that I needed to ask my mother a question. So it goes like this. Ma. 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 And she turns around off of the pew and whacks me across the face with an open hand smack. In the middle of church, full of church on Sunday. It was probably 11 o'clock mass, so a big amount of people, and I just kind of slinkied back down into the seat and just sat there with tears just dripping down my face.
Well, you got to understand, though, she was in the middle of a conversation with Jesus at that point.
I know.
She just taken his body into her mouth. How she can't be bothered listening to you talking about something? Because so what age were you? You said
no. I just wanted to turn around to her. I wish Vanessa gave me that line when I was young. I could have just turned around and said, "I came out of you. Why don't you answer me?"
but how old a kid were you at this point? Like how?
How old are you first communion? Seven. So somewhere between 8 and 9 years old, probably 8 because probably 8 years old.
I love you to death, man. I think maybe you deserve the crack. I think it's warranted in front of Jesus. At that age, I say like post 6, I think kids should be able to be quiet.
If bricks.
Well, what about if I'm sitting there praying to Jesus and I'm saying Jesus, 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 and he's not answering me, so I got to call my mom for some help.
Jesus is ignoring you the whole time anyway. He's forsaken you. He doesn't exist. But that's another whole story.
Had to like God to reach down and crack you across the face.
Nice. All right, guys, enjoy the day.
God bless, my friend.
Honestly,
see
you.
Honestly, what God should do at that point is say, "You do know your son's asking you a question, right?"
That would be like the divine intervention, like up on the cross. Christ is there. He points over her like,
"Shut that kid up."
Awesome.
Sorry, I had to jump in there with that.
It worked.
I knew you were.
It worked. Awesome.
Well, and speaking of shut the hell up, it brings me to relationships. Everyone gets shut up in relationships, right? And I once went to a couples counselor when I was going out with a girl, like years back. And I guess we were serious, and we weren't even married. And I don't even know why now that we even went to couples therapy, because we weren't even married. Like, it's just such a stupid thing. And I never was in therapy by myself, ever, you know. So,
this is with your current wife?
No.
Just a girlfriend. Yeah, I bet you that was your idea, right? Yeah. Hey, honey, I think we should go to couples counseling.
Wait. Wow. A man and his girlfriend that haven't maybe been together for hundreds of years... How long were you with her when you decided
to
go?
Honey, we're coming up on our 3-week anniversary, and I don't know if this relationship's going in the right place.
No, it was years. You know, maybe four years, 5 years. You know, so it wasn't
So you guys were going steady.
The girl who I used to have a crush on that she used to date?
Yeah.
Well, I say the. But one of the 6 that I had a crush on that she used to date.
So it was so weird. And of course...
the one whose ass I actually hate. What? It's jokes.
So, of course, yes, Brian.
Wait, I want to hear Chris's story instead.
It was her idea. Yeah. And since it was her idea, like, when we got into the first session, we go in, and of course, I don't do any talking. I'm really not a good talker, as you could see by this me doing this radio show every week. So my girl's just doing all the talking, and I guess the doctor, or the psychiatrist, or whatever it is a female as well. So they start cackling to each other. And it's like, I'm like the bad guy now. Now it's them two reviewing me and all of my, all of my faults and everything like that. And it was the oddest thing, man. And it was just like I felt berated.
So you close down, right? You just don't say a word. You just let them berate you, and then you look at them. evil.
I got to agree.
I think it worked out perfectly. It worked out perfectly, exactly the way it was supposed to. He met a girl he actually loves a couple of years later, married her, and doesn't talk to that girl anymore. It worked out exactly the way it was supposed to. I'm glad that therapy worked out.
But it was the oddest thing. Have you guys ever been to therapy, couples or by yourself?
Here.
Never.
I've been by myself for...
Couples counseling alone.
That's not therapy, dude. That's called rehab. It's different.
No, but it was a therapy thing. After a while, it wasn't about. I mean, it always went back to this.
Slow down, bro. Talk. Get into your heart. Let us know where you're at, bro. We're here for you. We just want to hear what you have to say.
My name is Keith, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Keith. Come on, guys. Say hi, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
Oh, this group
we accept you.
Go ahead,
yeah, but after a while it turned into, it wasn't, you know, because I went for about a year and a half after I stopped using drugs, and after a while it wasn't really about that anymore. That would always be the underlying theme, but, you know, it was about
your thyroid.
Yes, it was about my hypochondria after a while. No, I don't know, man. I know.
Your drug counselor suddenly became, God, I don't want to talk about your mom anymore. Stop.
Actually, it was the opposite. She obsessed on talking about my parents and blaming them for everything I did.
Well, it's their fault,
obviously. Which obviously was the one sticking point I had with blaming other people for your problem. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool sometimes to have a person to talk to.
I went to the only sort of therapy I ever went to. Certainly never went to couples therapy, because the minute that someone brings up the idea of couples therapy, it's like, all right, we can't be friends. Like not only can we not date, we can't even be friends. I just can't talk. Hey,
you
want to
move?
Let's talk to somebody else about coaching us on how to be friends with each other. F you. No, you know what? Let's just not be friends anymore. I think that makes a lot more sense for both of us. It'll work out a lot nicer. Either that, or let's you and I have a knockdown, drag-out brawl right now, and when we're done, we'll be buddies at the end. And that's the way to do it.
That's healthy.
But the only therapy, well, yeah, my wife hits hard, so it's cool. It works out for us. The only therapy I ever went to was sophomore year of high school. My friend Joe, who used to own a skate shop on Staten Island, I told him about the fact that I was contemplating suicide. Honestly, but what teen isn't? What teen isn't? Let's be honest. And he decided to go tell a therapist at the school about it.
No. He ratted you out?
Ratted me out because, dude, I thought you were going to kill yourself. It's like, dude, I was at school the next day telling you about it. Obviously, I wasn't going to kill myself.
No, but now I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, so then I had to go to what they called my mom. Went to the whole thing where they explained to my mom that I knew where the gun in the house was and they had to hide it. And I had to go to a therapy session once a week to talk about how I felt.
Oh, how did that go?
It was so gay.
How long did it last?
Like 3 months. And then it was supposed to continue the next semester, but our therapist left the school and then a new therapist came in, and somehow in the paperwork they never knew that I was supposed to go back, so I never went back again, so it worked out just fine.
But did your mom flip out? She's like, oh, my poor baby.
No, my mom was like, we're not telling your stepfather about this. I'm just going to move the gun, or we're just going to tell them that I moved the gun, and we're just not going to bother about this, all right? You're not going to kill yourself, right? No, of course not. I said something in passing, and someone made a big deal out of it. Don't worry about it. Kiss me, mommy. And then it was just another whole weird thing that happened. What's up?
I went to what do they call that when you're sitting in front of a shrink?
Therapy?
Yeah, I went to therapy once.
Talkie time?
Yeah. My brother and I got in a knife fight, and he was stabbed, and I got stitches in my hand, and as a result of that, my mother walked in on us while that was happening, and she insisted that we go to a shrink's and have him shrink us.
Separate shrinks or couples counseling with your brother?
Same shrink, different times, sessions. Different sessions. Yeah, we had to be alone. My brother attacked me with a knife, and I defended myself. So they wanted to try to figure out like what the problem was, and I literally said not a single word
the whole time.
Yep.
Really?
There were three sessions till they basically said, "Okay, Brian's not coming anymore." And they were like, like an hour long session. I just sat there and looked at him and didn't say a word.
Wow.
What, they don't initiate the conversation?
Yes, he tried to talk, and I insisted not to say a single word. Like it happened after the first. I didn't know what I was going to do, and after the first like 30 seconds of him rambling and talking and stuff, and he's like, you know, so what? Can you tell me what happened? And I didn't say anything, and then I just decided not to say anything for every session after that. Three sessions, I was out.
And did your brother do well? How long did he...
He was in for a couple weeks, and then, you know, we weren't exactly rich people, so we didn't really have the money to kind of keep him going. So,
ever think about going back? Do you think it would work, Brian, or no?
I don't think so.
You don't
I mean, I'd have to talk, right?
Yeah, but do you think talking about your problems with somebody will help you out?
Just the listening public. That's pretty much it.
That's it?
Yeah. No, I don't like talking about that crap, like on a personal level. If I'm not making a joke out of it, I'm not talking about it.
Brian actually told the therapist, me and you got to go to a bar, get real drunk, then we'll hang out, have a cigarette outside, and then I'll talk to anyone. So,
kind of, yeah.
Keith, would you go back to therapy or no?
I would love to.
Really? You would love to do it?
Yeah.
It's really screwed up, man, because we've talked about this on the show in the past, about who amongst us is the most effed up. And who amongst us has issues, and who amongst us doesn't, and who doesn't. And our buddy Vito is at work in the chat room. I had a conversation with him yesterday. We've got something lined up, and I don't know if he's listening right now, because I know he's at work, obviously, as his name suggests. We have a therapist that's lined up that's actually going to come on the air with us and evaluate us. By the way, surprise! I know I didn't tell anyone yet, but since I figured, hell, we're talking about it, let's go with it. We're going to have a therapist on the air with us probably, I think, 2 weeks from now. We'll have her come on the air with us, a girl from Pennsylvania, or, you know, a doctor from Pennsylvania that's actually going to evaluate us and let us know, you know, what's going on. I got to be honest, it almost seems like it can be the entire show. Just let her talk to each one of us for, like, you know, half hour, 45 minutes each, and just evaluate us. And it'll be a very, like when Family Ties, like, you know, when someone died or something, it was very, like, a very special episode of Best in Show.
Great episode of Family Ties when his friend Greg got killed in the car accident and he's in therapy.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It was the ultimate overacting of Michael J. Fox.
I like the end of MASH when he was in therapy about killing the chicken.
In the car?
Mm-hmm.
The chicken was a baby.
Spoiler alert. Jesus.
Wait. Oh, sorry. Sorry, guys.
You wouldn't have the therapist listen to the show maybe for a half hour and then get her own opinion and say, like, give her you know.
How about we get the therapist on the air? Ask her what her thoughts are on how to evaluate us, and we'll go from there. Because I honestly think it'll be brilliant.
Great idea.
I would love for Keith to realize what a hypochondriac is, and I'd love for all you guys to realize how awesome I am, and you're just douchebags.
Thyroiditis.
Yeah.
It's confirmed.
Fakeyitis. Just get a fakeyotomy, and you'll cut it right out.
See, I'm gonna try my whole trick again. I'm just going to shut up. I'm not going to say a word, see what she says. That'll teach her.
You know what? Why don't you shut up right now, right at this moment? Say not one more word, because on the hottest of all lines, joining us, our special friend, our compatriot, our buddy, Jay Miller from Mid Evenings with Jay Miller is on the line with us. What's going on, buddy?
So I want to say one thing. So this week I don't have a computer with me, which I'm so excited about, because when I call you guys, I get crazy because I watch you on the cameras. And, like, I just get crazy. Like, when I see someone get up and leave the room, I get, like, so hurt. And then, let me tell you something, the wrap it up sign, you might as well just, like, put a dagger in my neck. It's the most painful thing to see.
Because
I'm trying so hard to be entertaining, and then someone's just like, wrap it up.
It's amazing. I had the conversation with Jay earlier this week about that. And just him talking about the wrap it up. So I'm like, wait, I didn't do it. This week. No, your producer Rob did it this past week. I'm just like, oh, sorry.
It really bothers me. And I'm like,
it's nothing to be bothered about. You're always entertaining. It always works out. We always have a good time with you here on the air. Just sometimes, you know, we feel like, hey, maybe it's time to move on.
Hey, Jay, I mean, to be honest, would you allow somebody to sit at your table and be interviewed for the rest of the night, for the rest of the mid-evening, without moving them along?
No, but the thing is, you know, I feel like, you know, if I feel like, how do I put it? I feel that I'm the best. So to have someone like want me off. I'm like, what's wrong? What's going on?
Which, by the way, Jay actually has a tattoo on, I don't know if it's his right or his left shoulder, that actually says I'm number one on his arm. Just so, you know, setting the stage so you know where he's at.
But I can back it up. So.
I'll be honest with you, man. I'll be 100% honest with you. After this week, seeing the premiere installment of Mid-Evenings with Jay Miller, I will say, I think you can back it up. I think you can back it up 100%. I think that this show was one of the, like, don't get me wrong, I don't want to say surprisingly, because I knew it was going to be good, because I know he's a talented kid, and I knew it was going to be funny. It was, from pillar to post, beginning to end, 100% entertainment the entire time. I thought it was a great, well, okay, minus our segment. But the rest of the show was fantastic. I thought it was a great show.
It was definitely not, and it's going to air on community television, but it was definitely not a typical community television quality program. This was a real show that I laughed nonstop at.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great.
Speaking of us, I feel like we brought the show down.
Really?
I don't know.
Let me tell you why you guys were the perfect first guest. Because, well, first of all, thank you guys for saying such nice things. I'm so happy to have you guys there. And the show did go a million times better than I could have even expected. You know, it went great. And so the show is silly. And when I come out, I do a lot of silly things. And everything is, like, is funny. So when you guys came out, the reason you guys thought it was such a down bit was because people were waiting for the joke. People were waiting for you guys to be fake guests and waiting for, like, the punchline. And there was no punchline. So it did take about 2 minutes for people to realize.
Best in show, there is no punchline. That should be our new motto.
Well, no, I don't mean it that you weren't saying anything funny, but the guest previous to me brought out banners that had my name and a giant penis on it. So
that was
the joke. So people were waiting for you to be to like to have a joke, and it was like, oh, these are real people, which set the tone for the show to be like, oh, this isn't all jokes. These are like real people coming on in a real interview. And then your interviews like that don't need to be funny. We don't need to be laughing every second, but we just need to talk about stuff that's interesting. And talking about the tanning and talking about the eating contest and stuff and talking about ketchup, like, that's all fun stuff.
And you know, it goes back to what Chris and I were talking.
Sorry, Jay. I know you don't have your computer on, but I just gave the wrap it up sign just for some excitement.
We were talking earlier, Chris and I, about, you know, being nervous in front of crowds, and this is what I was referring to, because when we sat down, I don't think I could have felt any more awkward than I did, and the big shining light made it so much worse. So what I decided to do, once we did our sound check and all that, I decided just to start drinking straight vodka like a madman to loosen me up. So when I got on stage, I couldn't probably tell you half of what we talked about right now. So this is a big surprise to me. I'm waiting to see this. My big fear is us coming off trying to be funny and not. And I don't think we did, but
I will say that I think some of your excessive vodka drinking was evidence, because I do believe at one point during the show, Jay actually said, "So does Keith talk?"
Well, that was at the very beginning because I didn't speak.
Well, what happened is they came out, I asked you how the show started, and then I asked you, you know, about the barbecue. And while you were talking about the barbecue, I asked, like, oh, is Keith going to talk? Barbecue?
I guess he could have said, does Keith talk or does Chris shut up? I guess he could have posed the question either way.
No, but Chris, you were great. You were super funny, and I just want to say it was so exciting to see you guys hanging out all night. That made me feel good. Anytime you guys are hanging out having a good time, I get so happy. Because it was late. It was like 11 o'clock, and you guys were still out.
Oh, yeah, well, to speak to Keith's vodka drinking, I carried Keith's stumbling ass to the car at about a quarter to two. So, yeah, we were out, and we got pretty sloppy. It was a good night.
Keith was in bad shape, and I've never really, I guess I've never seen him like that or ever seen him like drunk or anything, but he was in bad shape.
You've seen me drunk, but I've never really been like, I don't usually get that drunk, but I guess the starting to drink straight vodka from 7 to 1:30 will probably do that.
starting doing it at 7 o'clock, and as we're doing it at 7 o'clock, saying, hey, are we going to get food at some point, and then never doing it and just drinking constantly the whole time. Yeah, I mean, quite literally carrying, like with my arm underneath Keith, trying to carry him to the car. He was all
over
the place.
I've never seen Keith like
that. Yeah, he's
yes,
usually
we
pretty
have.
Nah, he's usually no. pretty good about concealing it. He's usually pretty good about concealing it. But no, I thought it was, you know, I had a great time. I'm very, very anxious to see actually what the product came out like, if the product is going to be published. What exactly is the situation with that, Jay?
Okay, let's get into that. First of all, I want to thank everyone from your show and coming down and supporting. Second, especially Gravy. Like Fred is really the worst person in the world.
I agree.
Will everyone agree on this?
Yes.
If you're
yes.
saying that Fred,
yes,
that
I do.
If Fred did not go, then I think I would agree with you. And this is coming from someone who also did not go.
A point.
Yeah, but you, like, I didn't expect you to go. You live someplace else, don't you? I think you already said you weren't going.
Allow me to point out that the Best in Show fans came out in droves of zero. Zero. Anyone that came to that show came to see the Jay Miller show. The people that we knew that we were friends with would have come to that show whether we were there or yeah. whether we were not there. There was no one that was there specifically for us. So thanks to all you guys for pouring out your support.
Would you say that it was crowded, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh no. I totally think it was crowded. Oh, yeah. No, I thought the place was packed. Well, you didn't think it was?
No. I thought it was.
Yeah, no. I totally thought it was packed. I'm what I'm saying is that the people who came out there came out to see you and your show.
Right. Okay.
Speaking of it being crowded, one of the most cringeworthy moments.
I have to pee. I know you don't want me to leave, but I have to pee.
I don't care if you leave. Go ahead.
I can't see it.
Quit the show.
Good. We're safe.
One of the most cringeworthy moments is Chris and I were in the back when the show first started and when it's filming, and we're waiting, and we're kind of tucked away in the opposite corner of where we need to go. And there's another girl, and I apologize because I don't know her name, but she was on after us. And the three of us are discussing how much it's going to suck now to try to get through this crowd and get around outside. So we're discussing different ways to tell people. And, you know, like just funny ways to get through the crowd.
I'm with the band.
And I exactly, stuff like that. And I said to her, "You must not know who I am," always works real well. I don't think she heard the "always works real well" part, because she just stares at me blankly and says, "Who are you?" And I cringed. And then I straightened it out. I'm like, no. And she's like, oh. But like for that 1 second, just the fact that for 1 second a person thought that I said to them, "You must not know who I am," is still making me cringe until right now.
You should have ran with it.
What makes it funny is that she's 14 years old, so there's a good chance that she could have been like, "Oh my God, who are you?" Like, got really excited.
Are you Moby?
That girl was 14 years old?
Yeah.
Aren't you the Jonas Brothers manager? I know who you are.
Aren't you that guy from the Smashing Pumpkins?
Again,
my dad used to listen to?
I don't want to ruin bits of the show. I don't want to ruin bits of Jay's show, but there's an unbelievably funny bit in the middle there that plays perfectly into this.
The show already happened. So you're not ruining anything.
Well,
it didn't air.
Is it going to air? This is what I was getting at. This is because...
So I had someone who was in charge of like all the camera stuff. And that was the one thing that I wasn't in charge of. And then here, like the night of, I was like, we have people filming it. And so he just filmed it. Just one person filmed it on his camera. And we had no audio also.
It's like his telephone. I'm like,
wait, yeah, no audio?
No, like audio connected to the camera.
Oh, good. And so it'll be good then. It'll be good. That'll make it good.
So I'm like, okay, great. And then I'm like, and now I haven't even seen the video.
How is that a TV
Sunday.
Show? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Listen, this is what happened. My plan was for the show to be live, okay? That was my concern. I wanted to be live. I don't care about the TV part of it. Everybody wants to film it. Everybody wants to make it into a show. Everyone wants to shop it around. Okay, that's all fine and great. You guys could do that and do what you want with it. And I just want to make sure the live show is good. And then it's like, hey, how'd that video come out? I don't know. No one's replying back to my text. Like, no one's answering the phone. I haven't seen the video yet, so I don't even know what's happening.
So,
I'm really bummed out about it.
Is it a safe bet at this point that the premiere debut episode of Mid-Evenings with Jay Miller was just, and I don't want to say was just because that downplays it, but was a live only event. Is that a safe bet at this point that this show will never be broadcast anyplace?
No, I can't give you any answer because I have no idea.
Being a betting man, what's the over under on this?
What's that mean?
I don't even know. I don't understand over under. I don't do those. Remember, I just don't. What are the odds that there is a video that will ever surface ever anyplace?
I mean, if I was a betting man, I would say that it's about 60% chance that it'll come out at some point.
All right.
But the reason I can't answer that is because it's possible that nothing even recorded.
Yeah. No,
I don't even know. It's possible that the recording came out great. I have no idea.
No, I think that's great. I mean, I had every intention of coming out and, you know, doing a live event and doing what we can for tape for broadcast with a 60% chance of most people ever seeing it. I thought that was the best
audio
thing we were doing.
And the thing that would disappoint me, honestly, it's really not even us wanting to see us, because in the back of my head, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the segment with us, but I really, really want to show people the rest of the show, but I guess there's a 60% chance I can.
The show wasn't supposed to go that good. And then all of a sudden, we had, like, the show that's, like, so funny and so great. And it was like, I mean, it was so good that I even enjoyed it. So,
It was unbelievably entertaining. Like I'm saying, from pillar to post, beginning to end, like every bit was funny. Every guest was funny. It was really good stuff.
And Jay himself is a brilliant host.
Oh, agreed. Agreed 100%. I thought it was polished.
I wish I was there. Great. Now. I really do wish
I was
there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, well, it was all the way on Staten Island.
I want to reiterate something.
Please.
That Fred is the worst, like the worst person.
Didn't I tell you I wasn't going to be there? I said, I'll see you never. I hung up the phone. Did you really think I was going to come?
Isn't it like four blocks from your house, Fred?
Probably, maybe six.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's six. It's probably about a 10-minute bike ride from Gravy's house to Martini Red.
The way that I ride, like 15 minutes, but that's because I go ride slow.
I'm sorry I wasn't there. I had a headache.
He actually did because I saw him next door buying aspirin, and he said, "Yeah, man, I got a really bad headache." So.
I was expecting at the very least that he was going to drive by and egg the front of Martini Red. That's what I was expecting was going to happen.
To be honest with you, I'll see you there next time, Jay. Next time I will be at the show.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I can't wait to. I'm definitely going to have you guys on again. I have to see what the plan is because now, like, everything went great, but now there's, like, I guess, inner turmoil where it's like, all right, now we have to figure out what we're doing. Because we have a show this week, and we have only one person booked. So I'm like, you know, it's going to be hard to get people out on Thursday. So I'm like, you know what, maybe we'll just wait, and then...
What do you mean? What's the inner turmoil?
Well, just like the camera thing. It's just like, that's like my producer. And then I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I haven't talked to him in the 3 days since the show ended. That ain't right.
Jay, I'll shoot for you if you need a camera guy.
Okay, yeah, he'll be there. Yeah. He'll be almost as reliable as no one.
Right.
Well, I will say, it is hard to get people out on a Thursday night being a dude that doesn't leave the house ever. I, without question, will be at this event this Thursday as long as it's happening because I enjoyed the holy hell out of myself and I thought it was a great show. It literally, as a spectator, it was outrageous. Being, you know, not doing it just because, like, oh, it's a promotion thing for Best in Show, I loved being at this thing. It was a funny, great show, and I will, without question, as long as it's happening this week, I will, without question, be there. And I don't go out. I don't go out for anything, and I will go out for this.
So there you go, Jay. You got two guests this week now.
Okay, that's good. You want to be a guest on the show? I gotta figure something out. I don't know. Yeah, I wasn't supposed to be in charge of everything.
What? Don't you have a big musical guest this week booked? You don't have a lot of stuff set up?
No, the only musical guest we have, the only guest we have are Snakebite.
Right,
the big
musical guest, Snakebite, a huge, huge, tremendous band that's going to be taking over the world pretty soon. Or as soon as they hit puberty, they're going to be taking over the world. It's going to be fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I don't want to have to I can't do the whole show with them, you know.
You can get Silas from the Junkyard. He's a good guest. He does probably funny stuff, man.
We'll get people. I want to get people from the zoo. That's my goal. Like, let's wait a month. Maybe we get someone from the zoo to bring down a spider that they can put on me.
I thought he meant the Z Morning Zoo.
So I was thinking the same thing.
Scott Shannon.
So, well, again, I'm so glad you guys came out. I just want to say that there's only next Sunday is the only Sunday. This is last Sunday left with no football, and life is just going to start to get good again.
Oh no! That's not even true. Next week, next Sunday is when your life starts getting good because you're going to be coming down to 72 Hannah Street to come to the big Hear Us Talk radio event over there, aren't you?
He's not coming.
What?
Oh jeez! You're going to Fred this event. You're going to Fred it up. You're not going to show up for the box ball tournament.
Fred is going to Fred this event, I think.
I gave you a pole position in the big box ball tournament that you were one of the favorites. It was going to be you and Vanessa in the finals. We were gearing it up. It was going to be huge.
Wait, is the box ball tournament real?
Yes. It's going to be tremendous.
If you said that, I thought it was a funny joke.
No, it wasn't funny or a joke. No, we're having a 16-man box ball tournament next week. It's going to be tremendous.
Is it going to be 16 people
there? I don't
even
know what that is.
It's a sport. You'll love it. You might win a T-shirt.
What time? What time do I get to come?
11 a.m. You come down. You check out Best in Show Live. Then you're going to check out DJ Newstyle and Germ Freak doing some live performances. Then the Church of Man Love. Then the Humans. Then Tryptophan. I think I got the orders wrong. The Headlocks. Terrible Tim. Did I forget any bands? No, I don't think I did. It's going to be music. It's going to be outrageous.
What, am I going to get some mic time?
If you play your cards right. You play your cards right. I think you might be able to do it. We might have to wrap it up, but...
He always plays his cards
right. Can me and Terrible Tim get on together?
Wow. I'd watch that.
Sure.
I wouldn't.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, now you have to show up.
Good sure, God. Why not? Let's do it. Let's have it out once and for all. Let you guys... what's the word I'm looking for?
Do it.
Are they going to battle?
Strip?
I have a forensics battle.
The place to be and the thing to do with your ears.
It's going to be outrageous next week. Sunday. It's going to be tremendous. Mid-evenings.
All right, thank you, guys. I wish I could say the show was Thursday, but I'm starting to have second thoughts.
Mid-evenings with Jay Miller this Thursday at Martini Red, the 28th of August. Whether he'll be there or not, I will be. And I will somehow make the show happen. It's going to be tremendous. We're going to have Snakebite on. It's going to be a great, great, great time. Check out mytalkshow.blogspot.com for the unbelievable goodness of a blog where he talks about a show that's not going to get published. But still, it's outrageous and it's a good time. And I'm telling you, there's so much here. There's so much here. When he starts doing this show and once it actually starts coming out there, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And I love it. I'm excited.
And I want to say that Chris is saying that with no sarcasm at all.
Oh.
For real.
Wait, is that sarcasm versus my sarcasm?
I know that you're genuinely excited about it.
I genuinely swear to God, if he existed, that I thought that this was one of the funniest hour and 20 minutes that I spent in my life. I thought it was great. I'm telling you, literally from bit to bit to bit, like everything was great. It flowed. It was funny. It was just awesome. I loved it.
I agree. I thought it was great too.
Yeah. See, but you're being a jerk. You're being a jerk and I'm being a genuine dude because like always, I am a man with a heart and feelings and you are a robot monster creep.
Good luck with yourself, Jay.
Thank you so much, guys. I'll see you next week.
Jay, we'll see you Thursday. Thursday, Martini Red. Check it out. It's like 372 Van Duser Street, something like that. Go to mytalkshow.blogspot.com. See if he's still doing it. I hope to God he does because I want to check it out. It's going to be a good time. And it'll be the perfect thing to do to check out as a Staten Islander before you come to the Labor Day event.
I'm DJ Newstyle, host of the DJ Newstyle Show. I like to do things in one take, just like this little promo I'm about to do. But before I get to that, let me ask you something. What are you doing on Labor Day? Nothing? Fantastic. Because Hear Us Talk has a Labor Day concert event planned at 72 Hannah Street, Staten Island, New York, Sunday, August 31st, 2008, starting at 11 a.m. with a live broadcast of Best in Show Radio. Then after that, we start rocking with Church of Man Love, myself, DJ Newstyle, featuring special guest Germ Freak, who will sing even if he's uncomfortable. Tryptophan, The Humans, Terrible Tim. Come on down, look at some weird people, and ignore the neighbors, because we don't care. We'll be loud, they'll hate us. It'll be fun. Thank you.
What's it? It's Labor Day, right? It's the day before Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a Labor Day celebration.
Yes.
And right. What's the deal behind Labor Day? We're supposed to celebrate the workers? That's the whole point behind it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think the original point behind Labor Day was everybody's supposed to get a day off from their labor, even though it's not the case anymore. But
we're celebrating the laborers in doing it. That's what the whole concept
is. Right. We're celebrating that we work.
Commies.
Okay.
That's what we're celebrating.
It's weird because the two summer holidays that bookend the 4th of July, you have Labor and Memorial Day. And you got to think that Labor Day, it kind of pales in significance. You're celebrating the fact that people work. On one and the other one, you're celebrating the fact that people died for you to have a place to live. It just seems, it kind of seems like on a scale of 1 to 10 or 2 to 6, that one outweighs the other.
But if you didn't have a job, you'd be dead and not have a place to live. Do you know what I mean?
Not if I went to the army and killed for my country.
That's true.
You know what I think it is? I think Memorial Day, you begin like somber and it's like, let's honor people. And then it's party time straight through to the end.
Oh, my God. It's like remember. You always have to remember the heroes and bury the dead. That's the one thing I've learned my entire life. Remember the heroes, bury the dead.
So we're burying the dead on Labor Day?
No. We're burying women that are in labor because we don't want to deal with that.
I'm kind of bummed out. I've been really big into TV lately, and I'm kind of bummed out if this Mid-Evenings with Jay Miller thing doesn't reach television.
He forgot his camera.
No, that's the thing. The cameras were there. Someone forgot to hit record. We didn't even get into that, but someone didn't hit record on one of the cameras. Oh God! There will be a version of it out there.
Wait,
there will.
Brian, I didn't know you were producing that show.
Wow!
Zinger.
But I've been really into TV lately. As a matter of fact, Friday night I had a. Let me pull back the curtain a little bit. Tell everyone what a dick Chris is.
What?
I'm sitting here starting to talk. As soon as I said the beginning of my sentence, he starts to close his eyes and fall asleep, staring at leaning his face on his microphone.
But these are little jokes that I do for the show. Like, I thought, like, you would laugh. It would be funny. Just wake me up when you're done.
Keith is telling a story now.
Wake me up when you're done. It's cool.
We up to my topic yet? What? So I had to get up for work Saturday at 6 a.m., but I felt the need to stay up till 4 a.m.
Oh, big boy.
Getting reacquainted with the television show Entourage. I don't know if any of you guys have ever watched this show. I was a big fan of the first three seasons, and then
Now I realize that I wasn't wrong for putting my head down and going to sleep, because I never once watched one episode and have no desire. Why? I like to make taps. It's good. It's exciting sound for the show. I had no desire to watch a show about a bunch of frat boy jerks that one of their friends made it and were going to hang out together.
Exactly what I thought. Why I didn't watch the show the first season. Then I watched the show, and you know what? That's really not at all what the show is.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's about a bunch of frat boy jerks where one of them made it and they're all mint?
It is.
Is that the difference?
It is kind of what it is, but it's not... It's still not... that's a bad way to describe it, because the show is entertaining. Has anyone here ever watched it? First of all, am I alone on this? All right.
I hate...
Apparently, since we're doing an audio medium, everyone on the show raised their hand except for me.
I hate that show. I can't stand it. I hate the show. It's an awful show. It shouldn't exist. It shouldn't be on television. It's evil. It's an evil show. I've seen every episode. Can't stop watching it.
Based on the fact that Brian hates it, I might need to start.
But he hates it and keeps watching it. So deep down,
he
loves
it. Won't watch it then.
Rob, you like it? Rob likes it. Rob's a fan of the show.
He also likes the Packers. What does he mean?
I mean, I've seen it. I really don't love it. But I want to know what makes you love it. Like, what do you get out of it?
Johnny Drama, bro.
He doesn't relate to any of the characters. Keith relates to Johnny Drama.
the thing is, I don't even know who Johnny Drum is. I just know that someone that I work with calls himself Johnny Drum because of a character on
he's
the show.
He's a good-looking kid movie, like an ex-child movie star, you know? And he's still
the brother of an ex-child movie star.
Who is actually played by Kevin Dillon, one of the more famous Hollywood brothers.
But, Keith, what do you get out of it? What do you get out of the show?
The highlight of the show for me is I think that Jeremy Piven's character is one of the best TV characters ever.
And he's
the
just
agent.
A douchey agent.
Yeah. Right? I think he's brilliant in that show.
Agreed. That's the reason to watch it.
It is the reason. And I kind of find it funny that the whole show is supposed to be that about this Hollywood dude and his entourage, but like that the main character is like just this like guy who's like they intentionally go out of their way to make him falsely nice and you know I don't know, he's not a dick like Chris here would be if him and his entourage rolled into Hollywood.
But he is kind of a dick.
He is, but he isn't.
I think he's a dick.
Because you're jealous.
Maybe I'm a little jealous or something, but no, that's the class of dick that
the
I
other
see.
Guys are. That's the thing. The other guys kind of, I think that's the whole point, is that like the other guys, his entourage have big heads, but he doesn't, kind of thing.
The dude who's the actor.
Adrian Grenier.
That's the dude who dated Anne Hathaway in The Devil Wears Prada, right?
Yeah.
Because that movie I saw, and I didn't like that either, but still, I could at least identify someone on the show other than Jeremy Piven.
And then I found out from my brother who lives on Queens Boulevard that apparently they're filming Entourage outside of his house all this coming week.
You going over?
No, I have to work every day.
Dude, your brother is Queens Boulevard.
I was hoping you would say that. You'd at least get the point.
Keith, if you had vacation next week, would you be on the set trying to get...
I wouldn't try to get autographs, but I'd like to see them film it.
Really?
I would go down, yeah.
You wouldn't go and try and get audio drops and say, hey, this is Johnny Drama from that show?
I don't think I'd be able to get close enough to
I know,
that.
But would you?
If I could, I would. Of course I would.
Okay, just asking.
Fred, can you go?
Yeah,
can you
I'll
go
be
my
there.
Place?
I'll be there, sure.
I bet you Fred could work his way into like a little cameo or something like that. Because you used to be an actor, or are still an actor? I don't even know how that works.
Used to be an
never
actor.
Never was.
Oh, snap.
He likes...
He just lit you up.
He likes Entourage.
He just made you...
Enough said.
He likes Entourage, one of the biggest shows in the history of America.
You think Keith's little jab at me about how I'm a non-actor is really going to get under my skin?
A little bit, apparently.
I think the way that you're saying that it's not shows that it got to. It got to. Just like the it's fine, dude. It's fine. But no, it was nice.
You know who I am? You must not know who I am.
Yeah, that was an Entourage moment. Except they would have been serious about it.
And that's
dicks.
That's kind of what made... That's what I felt like when I... Not to go back to a story I already told, but that's what I felt like when I was misunderstood. Like, yeah. You must not know who I am. But yeah, I don't know. I like Entourage people. Brian, I think you secretly love Entourage.
I mean, like I said, it's a little bit of a car wreck, but it does make me angry watching how these guys kind of roll around the town that they're on. And the fake way that they try to make that Adrian Grenier character look nice is even more irritating to me. He's not. I mean, he's not as overt as the other characters about it, but it doesn't make him any... I guess it does make him less of an overt dick than the rest of them are, but...
You know what, honestly, I will say one other thing I love about it. I don't want to be any of those guys. I don't want to be a Hollywood star or anything like that, but I want to have an agent so bad.
You want to have Ari, or you want an agent?
Well, he's not real. Otherwise, I take him. But
you want to have someone take...
I want to have someone like that. I want to have someone like that.
To do all your work for you.
Yeah.
Basically, and push you and make you...
Not push me, push everyone else to do what I want. That's what I want.
Ironically, I wish that I had a Silvio just hanging out someplace in my house doing all my work for me, too.
Who's a Silvio?
No, Silvio. I thought we were just talking about like dudes on HBO shows that do stuff for you. I thought it was Sopranos. I want to be in the mob. What?
Oh, I wish I could hire Dexter right now.
Now you're talking.
See, so you've actually sat down and thought about what it would be like to be sort of like a famous person and to have someone manage you or
not famous.
Hold on. This week after Mid-Evenings with Jay Miller, he walked around feeling like an effing rock star after the fact. He totally did, because people were coming over to us, shaking our hands, talking, being cool, nice. He felt like a rock star this
week.
Really? We both did.
His head blew up a little bit.
I don't know that his head blew up. But there was a certain amount of people that being like, "Yo, man, great stuff!" Like people were coming over to us and talking to us and being all cool. And he felt the rock star bit.
Yeah, he didn't talk at all though during the thing. How could he possibly have taken any credit for
that? Are you saying
you were there, Brian?
Chris, are you saying if we ever got a little fame, it would go to Keith's head the most, the quickest?
No. I will be 100% honest and say it would go to my head before anybody's.
Okay.
But I don't think Keith would be far behind.
Okay.
I don't think Keith would be far behind. I think it would go to his head too. But that's not to say that it would compromise the integrity of this pure thing. I don't know. Whatever it is. But no, but it would definitely get to his head. Sure.
See, I've been thinking about that a little bit this week. And it started for me, as most experiences in my life these days do, on the train. While I was sitting on the train.
Wait, hit the train tails music.
I can't really kind of justify this.
Sorry.
But while I'm sitting on the train watching, I'm just about to read. I'm kind of warming up. I'm looking at the situation, see if I have to give my seat up to anyone who comes in or something like that. And I'm noticing that people are looking at me.
You can keep telling your story.
Looking at you strange?
You can keep telling your story. Don't worry about it. We can ignore the fact that Vito's calling. Just answer him. Vito will be here with us. He'll be part of the program here on the Hottest of All Lines while you continue to tell your story.
That's right. I kind of want to hear what Vito's got to say, actually.
I'm sorry, what? I mean, what just happened that you guys were talking about me before I even got the phone answered? I missed that part.
We were talking. We were doing a radio show and said Vito's on the phone.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to ask Keith if he's going to watch that new HBO show True Blood because it's by the creator of 6 Feet Under.
I've never actually watched 6 Feet Under, but I got an advanced screening.
I thought you liked any cable show that had a gay character on it.
No, I love Queer as Folk, but I just never watched 6 Feet Under for whatever reason, and then I found out the ending, so I'm really never going to watch it, but, I will watch that show because Anna Paquin is in it, and, she's legal now, right?
I don't know.
And I also got an advanced screening of it, DVD from my job, so, the first two episodes, so I'm gonna check that out.
Not only did you get an advanced screening, you got some of the mysterious little ARG virtual marketing stuff that they were.
Is that part of that? Yeah, I got a vampire safety kit and all kinds of stuff.
Flask of blood and all that stuff, which is supposed to be secret stuff for people who are playing the game.
I didn't even know I was playing. Look at that.
Yeah, I am a 6 Feet Under fan. I thought it was one of the best shows that had been made on television up until that point. I know that makes me a little kind of corny.
I watched the first episode.
Freaking great.
And Dexter was in that show, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Dexter was in that show.
Played a gay guy. He was good.
And actually, yeah, Deja points something out. Well, she's pointing out that I never gave her a poster I promised her, but I never watched The L Word either because I just couldn't get into that show. I watched it. The L Word was the female version of Queer as Folk, and I just couldn't, I don't know, I couldn't get into it.
There were a lot of naked girls on it, a lot of boobs on The L Word.
Maybe it was that. I mean, no, that's why I liked it. Yeah.
But 6 Feet Under was...
I love cable shows. I loved... There was one called Meadowlands. There was one called... I liked Deadwood and
Deadwood was great.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the others. There was some I was really into.
Carnival.
Flight of the Conchords is brilliant, I think.
The guy who did 6 Feet Under, who the writer-producer and main director for that, who is also this vampire one, which strangely doesn't look all that alluring to me, is also the writer of American Beauty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was another great movie, at least from the... perspective of the story.
I like Entourage.
Great.
Great. Oh, I thought that was question mark.
No, great. I thought American Beauty was great.
Yeah.
Sorry. just like chime in, have an opinion. Didn't mean to be bad. Didn't mean to ruin things.
Way to go, Vito.
Am I the only one that likes Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Oh, no, of course not.
I've never seen one episode.
Oh.
I don't watch cable TV shows. I watch The Sopranos.
Well,
I watched Dexter.
Let me back that up for Chris a little bit. How many episodes of Seinfeld have you seen?
Like 3? Maybe 4?
I didn't even think you'd seen that many, honestly.
Yeah, situation comedy. I'm not a big fan.
You see the Festivus one, Chris?
No.
You never saw the Festivus one?
No idea. How about when Keith made a joke on Best in Show like a year and a half ago where he said Festivus, the festival for the rest of us? After the show, I was like, dude, that was effing brilliant, man. We got to do something with that. And he's like, it's a Seinfeld bit. I'm just like, oh. Like, I had no idea.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, I don't watch television.
You watch Lost.
And Sopranos and
I watch Dexter. Well, Sopranos is off the air, but Dexter. I watch Lost,
The Hills,
One Tree Law and Order. One Tree Hill actually is what I watch. So I watch
Dueling Haircutters or whatever that show is.
You know what, man? I love the idea of that show. I haven't watched it since that one day that I watched it. I want to watch it again, but I haven't. I watch Lost when it comes on. Like, I think they do 3 episodes every 26 years. I watch that. I watch Ultimate Fighter, like, you know, any sort of fighting stuff I watch all the time. And I watch Dexter, and that's really it. Like, there's nothing else I watch. As of right now, I have no TV agenda. Like, having the, you know, like, there are certain things you have to see in a week. I have no agenda this week. I have no agenda this week, last week, for weeks past, anything else. My agenda is to sit in front of my computer and screw around and, you know, play video games. I don't do anything with the TV.
So, Vito, what's your beat on that that vampire show?
I have no interest because I'm not, like, it seems like very Anne Rice vampire-ish, and I'm not really into that. I like more violent action movie type vampire stuff. So stupid Blade is one of my, you know, favorite things to watch instead of that, you know.
The movie Blade?
Like, well, Wesley Snipes is a fine actor.
So many people say the Blade is such a great movie, or more importantly, Blade 2 is even better, and
it actually is, but you know what's funny? This TV show seems more like Dark Shadows than it does anything else, so I don't know, maybe, I mean, I used to watch that when I was a kid, that might appeal to me, so.
Vito,
it just didn't look interesting.
Vito just out-geeked me.
I was just going to say, it's at the point that I feel as though I'm listening to some sort of Russian weird broadcast, because there's a language being spoken, I have no clue what it is.
You don't know what Dark Shadows is?
I don't know what that is.
You guys, Brian, you don't know what Dark Shadows is.
No, I have no idea.
Dark Shadows was a vampire soap opera through the 60s, you know, 50s and 60s, or?
By the way,
it was the 60s and 70s, but yeah.
Timestamp that moment of the show, because Keith's just saying, Brian! It was the greatest thing I've ever heard in the history of our show. So, yeah, so 60s, something happened?
Yeah, Dark Shadows. British TV show, a British soap opera, that was literally a soap opera about a vampire and, you know, people around him, I guess. And my grandmother used to watch it, so when I was a kid, it was kind of cool that a vampire was, like, you know, on TV, you know. I don't remember anything about it, but it was kind of interesting when I was a kid.
Barnabas Collins, that was his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I try to watch that.
That was the guy with the mohawk who hung out with Hannibal and Murdoch all the time. At least Vito got my A-team joke. Someone did.
Yeah, I've never heard of Dark Shadows, I'm sorry. But for some reason, I'm just not really looking forward to that 6 Feet Under vampire thing. And I should be, because I really like that guy. And that 6 Feet Under thing was great. And there's just something about the show. It's just not, I don't know. So it's really just, it doesn't look interesting to me.
Do you think that it's because of the... I don't want to say the viral marketing, but the kind of marketing that they've been doing about this show, like that weird vampire drink that they've been doing
around the city. Time out. Does this have anything to do with the billboards that are up near my job for the something American Vampire Coalition they look like they're vandalized signs?
I think so, yeah.
That's it.
I haven't been really kind of paying too much close attention to it.
I'm glad now that I didn't look at the website, now that I know it's a dumb vampire TV show.
Well, what'd you think it was? I mean, all those args are for something like that, for a TV show or a movie or whatever.
Something good. So I was hoping it was something good. Not just a dumb TV
show. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that at all.
The only dumb TV show I'm looking forward to right now is Fringe. I'm looking forward to Fringe right now.
What is that?
J.J. Abrams' new vehicle. It looks like like some sort of... it looks like X-Files-ish sort of something weird-ish. I guess would be...
Chris, have you seen the the coming attractions for that show?
Yes, I have.
Okay, there's an African-American gentleman in that in Fringe that looks... Am I crazy, but is it that the guy from Lost?
Yes, that's the guy from Lost. Around? That's the guy from Lost.
Do you think there's a connection?
No.
Probably not.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yes, yes, there is actually. He was in both shows.
It's the same actor. that's good. Yeah, I got to be honest. That's the thing I'm always looking for. I'm looking for a cross show promotion when it's a weird mystery intrigue type show, as opposed to when Laverne and Shirley show up on Happy Days, yeah. You know, or as opposed to when the Jetsons show up with the Flintstones.
Oh, the best ever when Urkel took off in a jetpack and landed on Step by Step.
Did that really happen?
Yeah. So I heard. I mean, Brian whispered that to me. That's how I know.
Yeah, I'm into the Fringe thing too, but no, I don't think that those two act that having the same actor overlaps it anymore. Other than that, J.J. Abrams works with the same guys over and over again.
That actor, by the way, looks like he should be in an Olympic sprinter for some reason. I think that guy could run. I think he could run so fast. Something about his face.
He's that HBO prison. Show. I forget what it was.
Oz.
Yeah, he was like an undercover cop in there for a little while.
No.
Was he the guy that got kicked into the pit in 100?
Yeah, I think that was
Wait,
him.
Which actor are you talking about?
The scientist on Lost.
The scientist on Lost?
Yeah, the one who's going to be in Fringe.
Oh, okay. I don't know. All along, I thought you were talking about Michael from Lost.
No,
Michael was also in.
Yeah, that's
Oz.
Why I was. Yeah, I was going to say it's obvious he's the wheelchair guy. When you said he was an undercover,
wasn't Mr. Echo on Lost too?
Who? Yes, he was out of BC.
Yeah.
Okay.
TV talk, great guys.
Well, it was kind of like that. Kind of gets me into the conversation I was having right before Vito called. I'm sitting on the subway, noticing people.
Wait, Train Tales? We're doing Train Tales now, right?
I'm noticing that people are looking at me, and all of a sudden I'm starting to spaz out about it now, which is kind of like feeding.
Oh my God, Bill Pullman's on the car with us.
You know, it's like every once in a while something like that happens. They think I'm a celebrity, and then it goes away within 30 seconds. But it was like the guy next door recognized me or started looking at me, and then like two seats down, another one. There were like 10 people staring at me. On the subway, and perhaps it had to do with the fact that I was starting to go a little out of my head, and why is everyone looking at me, and I'm looking all panicky, and now look at the freak on the subway train, and what's he's going to explode or something. But it just got me thinking, like, what a horrible celebrity I would be. Like, if I was ever famous, I would need, like, an entourage, or I would need an Ari or something like that, because I would just be awful. I would be an awful, awful celebrity. Like, I'd be getting drunk. I'd be arguing at people in public on trains. I'd be driving in a car, screaming at some, like throwing swear words around.
Aren't you doing these things anyway?
That's what I mean. But I mean, okay, I do. If I were to do those things, and I happen to be a celebrity and famous, I'd be on every one of those like
TMZ.
Yeah.
Celebrity mugshots.
I'd be like one half Sean Penn and the other half Amy Winehouse. I'd just be an awful, horrible, crippling.
So you'd be Andy Dick, basically.
I would probably be a lot like Andy Dick.
Andy Dick meets O.J. Simpson. That's how I. That's
good. Probably right. Yeah, closer to O.J. though.
Could you guys deal with celebrity at all? I couldn't. I guess I'd have to dial it back. I probably just wouldn't leave the house. Basically.
Isn't that the dream of being a celebrity, though?
Absolutely.
You don't have to ever leave your house.
I was starting to get freaked out that people were looking at me on the train, and if I was actually a real, if people knew who I was, that would happen to me constantly. And I mean, I've recognized celebrities while walking out in the street. There's a couple of people who live in my neighborhood, and I see them. And, you know, I kind of look at them, and I try not to annoy them. I'll look away or something like that. But that must happen to them all day long.
Didn't Heath Ledger used to live in your neighborhood?
No. He lived in like my work neighborhood, but Mr. Pink lives in my neighborhood, and as does
Pink's boyfriend or husband.
I don't know who Pink's boyfriend is, but Jennifer Connelly and like her husband, and there's a couple of like big celebrities that live in my neighborhood, and like I'll see Mr. Pink in my subway stop. He still rides the subway. Like I'll wake up in the morning, I'll go down and I'll see him, and I recognize him. He's a fairly big actor, who I can't remember his name. And you know,
John Wayne.
I'm sure he gets that all day long. I would freak. My head would explode if people were looking at me all day long.
So when you're walking down the street, if someone yelled train tails," what would be your reaction?
I'd run. I would probably run. It's you. Yeah. You the Beatles? You never remember that the the black and white movie that they had, A Hard Day's Night.
A Hard Day's Night, of course.
That would be me.
Chris, what about you? Would you want to hear somebody yell? So I say we, you know, this show achieved some level of success, and you know, financially it was good, and this is what you were doing for a living. Would you need or want to hear somebody yell "Best in Show" as you're walking down the street?
More than anything in the entire world.
Okay, Fred.
Would you be into somebody like calling to the show, going or calling it to other shows? Best in Show, hear us talk.
What? Best in Show? What?
Best in Show, hear us talk. DJ Newstyle, Baba Booey, you know, like something.
If they just
Would you guys be into stuff like that?
Oh, you mean like they do Howard Stern on the news report when somebody dies, or
that would be awesome. That would be great. Watching like you know, going to see Monty's talk show and have someone screaming "Best in Show Radio" for every 30 seconds.
The fact that three people there recognized who we were was tremendous to me. So yeah. But, and just because like they were dudes, I do like people I like went to high school with.
See, even three people I think would bother me. Like being around people that in a public place, three people are like, "I know who you are," and see, looking at me.
I would like the recognition, but I would something subconsciously would always make me say, "You have the wrong guy."
Yeah,
like I would say, "Oh,
Vito, I think you're running out of gas."
Best in Show, Fred. You think it's the wrong guy?
Have any of you ever been mistaken for a celebrity?
I convinced.
Like to the point where somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, aren't you blank?" or something like that, and you're like, "Oh, no, I'm sorry."
Yeah, I was on the 6 train this week. I was on the way, I was going to a job downtown. Someone came over and said, "Brad Pitt? Is that you? Could I have your autograph?" It was very weird.
I was at a club/bar in New York City, and these two English guys that were here vacationing left convinced that Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins just hung out with them for 15 minutes. And the best part of it was that my friend Jenny, who I was with at the time, as soon as the guys walk up to me, they're like, "Billy Corgan," and she steps in front of me and goes and pushes them back and goes, "Come on, guys, give him some room, give him some room." And that set the ball rolling, and it was great. They're telling me to come see them DJ and all this stuff. And
did you sing
it was
a little?
Pretty funny.
Did you sing a little lyric?
They asked me to sing, and I was like, "Nah, guys, I don't really want to do that." You know.
What about you, Freddie?
I get Leonardo DiCaprio all the time.
So here's the question, though: did you live that up? Like, do you play it a little bit, or do you just like I think Brian would say, "No, that's not me," I'm, you know, whatever. But like, would you, you know, like, did like you lived it up a little bit? But would you do that too, Fred? Or?
Oh, I play it up definitely. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Aren't you Freddie Silo?
I've been able to every once in a while.
He just yells out, "I'm king of the world!" every time that someone says it,
with my arms outstretched.
I've been able to every once in a while convince somebody that I'm like a lesser Baldwin.
That's good.
That's me right there.
That's Frankie like Baldwin. Tommy Baldwin.
Vito, do you get confused with the announcer from CNN?
Who?
There's an announcer on CNN.
Oh,
there's an announcer on CNN, a bald guy with black glasses who looks just like you, and I'm surprised you don't get recognized him all the time.
I would say he gets David Tell before anybody else.
This guy's...
I have gotten that once. The most absurd one, I think, was at San Diego Comic-Con. Somebody tapped me on the shoulder from behind and said, "Hey, aren't you Vin Diesel?" And I turned around and I said, "Are you freaking crazy? Like, the guy's shorter than me?" And like...
Did you attack him?
Dude, it's like, that's absurd. Like, Vin Diesel...
Vin Diesel needs to buy a new phone program, I think.
You guys ever see Boiler Room? I love that movie. I don't know what to say at this point.
There's nothing to say. The only thing more absurd than someone mistaking Vito for Vin Diesel is if this phone call were to continue. God bless you, my friend.
Oh, come on.
No, it was a great call, but you know, you got to know when to cut it off. We got to know when to say when.
I was just about to say goodbye.
God bless you. VitoDelSante.com, IncogVito.com. Go check out the website of a maniac that
There's
we know.
There's no way he got mistaken for Vin Diesel.
I know. That's honestly, it's more believable that I got mistaken for Brad Pitt.
And me, Leonardo DiCaprio. Deja, the chat room, said David Cross, which I think is a pretty good one.
Ooh.
He kind of looks a little like David Cross.
Vito?
Yeah, a little bit.
With the glasses.
He's bald. He's bald.
I know. He looks as much like David Cross as Keith does. As does Uncle Fester.
That's not true at all.
Just arbitrarily saying, "Oh, bald. He must be that famous guy."
That's not true. Come on.
I do not see David Cross and Vito at all. Not at all.
It's all swarthy looking.
I've been told at some point that I look just like whatever bald rock star. The Billy Corgan thing I could see, but like Moby, Michael Stipe, the guy from Midnight Oil, who looks like the guy from The Hills Have Eyes.
Does people even remember? Is he really a celebrity? The guy from Midnight Oil?
Do they Somebody really? Once told me, really? You look like that guy from Midnight Oil.
Do they realize that you actually have eyebrows?
And I'm not 9 feet tall and a mutant.
Cavallo 6262 in the chat room says Chris resembles Paul McCartney, especially in the White Album.
I actually thought he was Paul McCartney when I first met him.
When I was younger, when I was 150 pounds lighter, Paul McCartney on the White Album, that picture inside, I looked exactly like Paul McCartney. There's not even a question. But
now you look like Paul McCartney.
And
10
now
years
I look
after
like
his death.
Paul McCartney ate George Harrison. And then had a dessert of Ringo. And then that's kind of what
it looks like. Paul Provenza.
Equinox, without knowing the name, is pointing out what most people say, that Chris resembles Tom Sizemore.
Ooh.
Which is pretty much a regular thing we
hear. Isn't it more Michael Madsen or Madsen?
Madsen.
Can I just point out that I'm blown away that you guys are getting anything in the chat room? Because the chat room's frozen for me. Yeah. So it's amazing that they're getting the show.
Sorry, Tom.
I just want to say. Last thing I have is Spickle saying ha 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 an hour and a half ago.
Refresh.
Again, if I refresh, it kills the stream.
You're bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I don't know. What's going on? What's going on? Where are we at in America doing things, making stuff happen? I don't know if you guys are aware of the fact that this week, my favorite actor, and by actor I mean musician of all time, Gavin Rossdale, had another child. God bless. Congratulations.
Wait a second. Which one is Gavin Rossdale?
Bush? He's the one from the untalented band Bush.
Oh, is he still married to the... What's her name?
The untalented girl from No Doubt.
Yes. That they had a kid together?
Yes, that will surely have no talent. And this new kid's name?
Talentless?
Oh, good God. Ross.
Zuma Nesta Rock Rossdale.
Whoa. Zuma Nesta is one word?
No, four different words there. I don't want to be Z100. I don't want to say, and look at these wacky zany people with their crazy kid names. But Zuma Nesta Rock, shut up.
Rock?
Seriously, shut up. Zuma Nesta Rock Rossdale.
His middle name is Rock.
I think that's his confirmation name. Like, how do you get how do you get a third name?
My favorite name of all is Shannon Sossaman's daughter, Audio Science.
Can I just point out when my wife and I were talking about this, is like, well, I got to bring this up on the show. She was like, well, yeah, it's almost like the girl from A Knight's Tale. I'm like, a girl from, wait, you mean like maybe the third or fourth hottest girl who ever existed on the face of the planet? And she said, yeah, her kid's name's Audio Science, and the fact that she has a kid. Blew my mind.
She is a kid.
Audio science.
Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show. Who's this?
It's Audio Sounds.
John.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How are you doing?
Fantastic. Outrageous. Yourself?
I'm good. You know, before we go any further, I have to take it back probably about an hour where you mentioned that not showing up to an event would be to Fred the event.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
I believe the appropriate term is to shavo someone when you make plans.
Yeah, for
I think Vito would agree with me.
Yeah, for a lot of years, showing up or saying you're going to show up for something and not showing up would be my namesake. Because, I don't know, I like to sit in the house a lot.
Yeah, I can recall at least one Jet game against the Dolphins where I was...
Oh, I was... Dude, I was sick! I actually had a fever for that game. I was laying in my bed sick, dying.
You were at Speedy's.
No, I swear. I remember that. No, we're getting into semantics over craziness. But, hey, what's going on? By the way, John, our buddy, well, could we officially... Are we allowed to say official staff writer for the Village Voice? Are we allowed to say?
No, I wouldn't say that. You'll get me in trouble. Let's just say freelancer, extremely frequent freelancer for the Village Voice.
Okay, extremely frequent freelancer, regularly featured in the Village Voice, one of the finest papers in the land that you can get free on every street corner in Manhattan and God knows elsewhere.
Yeah, and it has like 40 pages of hooker ads in the back. It's great to read.
Ah, well, where else are you going to...
Like, read it at school in front of kids.
It's Craigslist in a newspaper. I love it. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. I interviewed an author from Staten Island this week, Bill Lofelm, who has a new book out called Fresh Kills. It's a novel that takes place on Staten Island and pulls no punches about the borough.
When you say novel, is it a fictitious novel that we're talking about?
Yes, it's about, it's a murder mystery set on Staten Island.
Awesome.
I love that it's called Fresh Kills.
I'm gonna. Yes. Can I spoil the book? Ron Hill did it. I'm gonna guess that Ron Hill did it. Sorry. What? I just ruined the book. Now everyone's mad because it really turned out.
You absolutely ruined the book.
Awesome. No, excellent. What's the story about this? What's the deal?
Well, he's a Staten Island native. He actually taught in my high school. He didn't teach me, but he taught some people we know, like a certain Eric and I think my brother. And he does not pull any punches on what his thoughts of Staten Island are now that he lives in New Orleans. And the first paragraph of the second chapter calls it the bastard stepchild of Brooklyn, the forgotten fifth borough, cultural void, home of the world-famous ferry, world's largest garbage dump, and the world's largest collection of identical people.
I thought you said there was something negative, or there was something bad about what he was saying.
He also gets accosted by some, I guess you would call them, wiggers at the mall, one of whom shows him a gun. And he visits the South Beach parking lot for some hot Guido time.
I've got to be honest. I wouldn't have thought that I would have had any interest in reading a murder mystery based on the island, but I'm running to Barnes & Noble, like screaming on the way there. This seems intriguing to me. I'm excited about the accurate portrayal of what our borough is.
They almost did ruin the ending because the original title was Vinny Did It for some reason, and then they figured out that was giving too much away.
Maron, what the frig was Vinny thinking when he did it? Was actually the original name of the book.
And it's chock full of Staten Island references. There are some places I didn't know. I don't know what Joyce's Tavern is. But,
did it? Wait.
Eltingville train station?
Joyce's Tavern. Oh, that's why I know that place, because I get off at the Eltingville train station every day and walk past there. That's why I know that name.
Yeah. Is it an Irish place?
I think it's an Irish place. Yeah, it's an Irish place in the book. And the bartender at Cargo, his friend teaches at Tottenville. It's really, and there's a point in the book where he's walking through the mall and he's trying to remember. The book takes place like present day. And he hasn't been to the mall in so long because, you know, the mall's filled with fakes and he hates it. He's trying to remember where the Sam Goody is.
Awesome. See, I love the insideness of it. And I understand for those of you that are not from Staten Island that are listening to this show right now, it seems too inside for you and doesn't make sense. It's unbelievable. I love the idea of something like where the Sam Goody is that's migrated five times since he's been in the mall. I love that stuff. I think, you know, the ownership that you take of an area and feeling it and seeing it in some sort of medium like this, I think that's, I'm beyond intrigued. I'd love to, I want to check this out.
You know, I wish, you know, they don't mention like, yo, we're going to go to Farrell's for two scoops or anything like that, but it does have quite a bit of Staten Island nostalgia, all done in a very sort of, I hate this borough, I'm glad I left kind of way. And he lives in a city that got flooded out a couple years ago, and he's still happy to stay there and not coming back to Staten Island.
They smeared the stadium walls there with feces, and he thinks that's better than here. I'm
going to ride it out.
chapter 6 of the book starts off, yeah, so I woke up today, Sunday morning. Best in Show's going to be on any minute now. Staten Island faithful, love them.
I was going to...
You know, actually, someone brought something up to me. Since I lived on the North Shore, I never really hung out at the South Beach parking lot, although I'm sure some of you may have.
Maron.
I didn't know what happens when you turn your lights off in the parking lot and then flash them on again real quick.
It's only in a certain section of the parking lot. When you go into the South Beach parking lot, and I know we're going crazy inside here, but we'll explain it as it goes on. But when you're in the South Beach parking lot, and I'm going back 15 years ago, but when you would go into the South Beach parking lot and you would drive to the, I guess, the southwest corner of the parking lot, you would park with your lights off and then flash your lights on. If you were a gentleman looking... Oh, our producer Rob Giggs is pointing over that it's supposed to be fog lights only, I guess, speaking from experience, that those are the lights that you flash on to let other gentlemen know that maybe you're a gentleman looking for a gentleman to spend some time with.
What? Really? There's like a technique? There's rules to engage?
Well, there are rules to let people know you're interested without letting people who are not interested feel like you're hitting on them, that, so they'll kick your ass, I guess, is what is probably what it would be. Yeah, the South Beach parking lot used to be one corner of it. The northwest corner of it was for the metalheads that were, you know, blasting Slayer and drinking beer, which is where I was. And then on the other side of the parking lot, well, maybe I went there a couple of times, you would flash the fog lights, and it was for gentlemen looking to hang out with fellas.
Wow. Bros!
What
dudes!
What is South Beach? This is a parking lot for what kind of establishment?
South Beach is... Beach. It's a beach on Staten Island, which, ironically, is on the north side of the island. But for some reason, they call it South Beach. It's where the island, where Staten Island starts to curve southward, even though it's well beyond like the midway point of the island. But they call it South Beach for some reason. Another sign that Staten Island is the brightest borough in the world, the brightest star in the universe, that we call one of the northernmost points of our island, South Beach.
You also mentioned in the book about South Beach that you hung out in the parking lot every day for years, and you never once went onto the beach that was 100 yards away.
Well, why would you bother with that? That way, you would get your leather jacket dirty if you actually tried to go onto your motorcycle jacket.
It's funny you say that, because there's actually a local commercial for a leather outlet, and the commercial is filmed on South Beach Boardwalk. The guy standing there in his leather jacket or whatever the commercial is, I don't know.
Why don't you guys go swimming there? Because is it filthy or something? Is the beach nasty?
You need a tetanus shot to look at the sand.
All right, let me put it this way. I swim at Coney Island.
Yeah, you're disgusting. Ugh. You should get a tetanus shot yourself.
You need a tetanus shot to go
you
on the sand?
You should kick him out of your house so no one gets sick.
You need a tetanus shot to go on the sand, and you'll probably get one if you walk around barefoot enough.
Yeah, I don't think that South Beach is nearly as bad as it used to be, but it used to be... maybe it has a history of having some medical waste wash up. These things happen. But now, I'll be honest with you, my new bike riding thing that I'm doing, I ride up that beach every day, and I see girls in bikinis on that beach every day, hanging out, sunbathing, and enjoying it, going in the water. So I think they all have AIDS at this point from the beach, but still. Yeah, so it's a nice time.
Oh, that's got to be a bad way to catch AIDS.
For the parking lot, flash the bike lights.
Well, I do what I got to do. I go into both corners. I wear my leather jacket on one side of the parking lot, and then when I get no action over there, I go to the other side and flash my lights.
What if you're a gay guy in Staten Island and you don't have a car?
You got a flashlight. Why did everyone look at me?
I love the idea of going to the South Beach parking lot with a flashlight, with a mag light in your hand, like turning on, hey guys, what's up?
You need two of them?
Does it work on a motorcycle?
Awesome. I'm a tremendous fan. I love South Beach. I love random gay interactions in the middle of the night based on headlights. What? Is that wrong of me? I think it's nice. I think it's a terrific thing. I think it's romantic. I think it's awesome. I think the idea of this book that's going to talk about a lot of the Staten Island references, like, I know it's inside, but hey, those inside weird little things are what make things great. Even if they're inside things that you're not privy to, the fact that you feel the realness of it, I think, is what's gonna do it. And I don't know how to read, but as soon as I learn how to read, I'm going to the Barnes & Noble on Staten Island. I'm going to buy Fresh Kills. I'm very excited to check out this book.
Yeah, the name of the author is Bill Lofelm, and his own website is Bill, and I'll spell it out. It's LOEHFELM.com. And he was a Go Eagles. He's a English teacher at St. Peter's for the years I was there.
God bless. God bless. And what about you, John? More importantly, how do people get in touch with you? How do people check out your dizzle?
Best way to go is johndesio.net. It's DESIO.net. And, you know, the Village Voice Running Scared blog and a couple of other places.
Excellent, excellent. Good stuff, man. Thanks for checking in with us, letting us know about this little treasure about our fine borough.
Oh, no problem. And, take it out. We got to go find Sam Goody one of these days.
Word up. Hey, what are you doing next Sunday? You coming down to the box bowl tournament over at 72 Hannah Street here on Staten Island? Can we convince you to come back to your borough?
I may. I was thinking about it. It's just a pain in the ass to get from Queens to there.
How about you hard sell it and claim that you're coming just so it sounds appealing to the listeners? So you're going to be here next week?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, bells on.
Box bowl, and I'm going to be, I can't wait to see Church of Manlove again for the first time in a few years.
Awesome. Shoveling it up. Fantastic. Yeah. John, thanks so much for calling in, buddy.
Hey, no problem.
Peace. It's good stuff. It's exciting. It's lots of magic going on. I don't even know. It's Best in Show. It's a thing we're doing. We're having a program. We're doing a thing. We're doing Best in Show. We're doing a Labor Day event. We're doing a mess. Who knows? Is this a song? This is actually outro music? Was it about riding bikes? Is this my theme song? Can I have a copy of this so I can do it? Wait, this is the bicycle song by Queen, you son of a bitch! Bicycle, bicycle, it's coming. Could we all agree at this point that Queen is maybe the dumbest band that ever existed? That's it?
You just gave us 13-second outro music.
That's not the song, because there's a whole thing.
You're talking about the...
Bicycle, bicycle.
You have that one, Fred?
Want to ride my bicycle.
Yeah, that's what I thought that was. Ride it.
Here we go.
Bicycle, bicycle.
All right, wrap it up.
Now I feel better.
I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle.
I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle.
Trivia. Who will be riding today?
What do you mean?
Who will be riding today?
America in the Olympics. We're going to win.
No, he's going to say later someone will be riding today.
Right, that's what I meant. Somebody.
Very good.
Hey, guys, thanks for checking out Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com with this. I don't even understand how this is happening and ending. I got to be honest, guys. Let's look around. Let's look at each other with our eyes serious. I don't know if it is, but this might be the last broadcast from this facility. Might be. I'm just doing it to put pressure on Rob Geggs because I know it's not going to be. But this might be the last broadcast from this facility because next week, Labor Day, 72 Hanna Street, you mother effers better be there. Actually, I'm going to say motherfuckers because this show's already been labeled as explicit. Because I'm a shock jock. It's Best in Show, Labor Day event, Hear Us Talk, DJ New Style, Best in Show, The Humans.
Can I do it too? Can I do it too?
Fan. Go, go.
Fuck.
Yeah! The Humans. Who else? Terrible Tim. The Headlocks. Did I forget any bands? I don't think I did. Foxball Tournament. Me in a Bikini.
Tryptophan.
Suntans. Tryptophan. No, I said Tryptophan, didn't I?
I didn't think so.
Queen. The Beatles.
Tim Robbins.
Albert Einstein is going to be doing a seminar in the back about something about math.
And Jeremy Piven.
Well, that's because he wants to let everyone know about his cool friends. Hey, guys, thanks for checking out Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, check out DJ New Style this Tuesday night, unless you're a dick. Cocky Sock, Steamroller, roll over your face. See you guys on the radio.
Jesus, I don't want